Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team. And rear end bubbles and wedge salads, PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man, his crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a 2-hour lunch. A 2-hour lunch. The email started getting rough, the producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch. Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It feels like a long time since I've done this show, but the gang is all here. We're excited because, you know what? Even Mike Felger, I saw him writing today, said that he's starting to get optimistic about this team, and it really bothers him. But I swear to God, that's what he wrote. It's bothering him that he's starting to get optimistic.
But and he's really basing that on preseason games.
Right.
Because he's seen nothing in practice. He has not been here once.
Right.
So he has no added knowledge other than preseason TV action.
Well, anyway, we're here until 4 o'clock. Well, at least you guys are. I'm going to have to leave early, unfortunately. I have a meeting. But
so
I figured,
why'd you come down?
I figured I'd to eat the Davio's food that who gave it to us?
Nelson in New Hampshire.
Nelson in New Hampshire. Thank you, Nelson. Wow.
The best.
You really went top shelf for us. That's good stuff.
Outstanding.
So if Nelson has an email, I'm sure it'll get read at some point today. Otherwise, we're here to talk about Patriots. And the last preseason game that they had since we've done a show was, I know you guys laugh at me when I said last year was Tom Brady's best training camp ever. I believe that. I also believe that from whistle to whistle, 0 to 60 minutes, I thought that was one of the best preseason games I've ever seen the Patriots play. You know?
It was good. I mean, I don't really.
I have no argument with that.
I'm just quality of performance in, you know.
Yeah, I would say it's up there. I mean, I don't, like Bill, I don't really rank
them
in terms of.
I mean, I've seen better quarters. I've seen better halves.
They played well.
You know, but from start to finish, from all the different levels, from the starters down to the dregs, I thought it was one of the best games that they've ever played.
And as such, I need to welcome you on the bandwagon, I understand. The G-Force bandwagon is filling up quickly after not just the game, but a strong week of practice.
Forget
here.
About these two practices. It's
but
been ridiculous.
You're now on board with me, G-Force.
Well, it is amazing how, you were right about Gronkowski,
but how
utterly you missed on Sam Bradford.
How did I miss on him?
You know, how way off the mark you were on Sam Bradford.
To be fair, I have jumped off his bandwagon. Guys that are special, the next Peyton Manning doesn't bobble his first snap and have a bad toss on another.
But
clearly,
you,
he's not.
You
special.
Were willing to have his baby during the draft.
And he still will probably be a good quarterback because I think he's talented. But I don't like – that has Donovan McNabb-type feeling to me. A guy that, sure, he'll be great. He'll put up numbers. He might start for 10 or 15 years. Not special. Brady, Manning, special.
All right.
You got to do it at crunch time. If you can't do it on the first frickin' snap of your preseason career.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And what? What's the matter, Andy?
That burp may have gone over the air.
Oh. Anyway,
Fred doesn't even care. Oh, that
no.
I've done it a million
times.
We don't
care about that type of stuff. Couple of roster moves, no big deal. But they did sign this offensive lineman.
Well, they've since we've last had a show, they signed Brian Simmons, a versatile offensive lineman, and they've traded for Okajina. What is it? Ojana? What's his name?
I call him Okajima.
Yes, that's I know. That's not really his name. Anyway, Quinn Okajina. I think it's Ojikana.
Why can't I remember now?
It's got a bunch of N's in it.
Two Iwojima?
No. But the bottom line is, clearly they are not set on the O-line. They've been continuing to add bodies. In practice, they're moving a lot of bodies around. Seems like they have a starting offensive line, and that's Dan Conley at left guard with all the other guys. But not so sure how great they feel about some of these depth guys from the recent drafts, the Ornbergers and the Bussies and these bodies that we see out there. But, you know, based on the way they're adding experienced veterans and some inexperienced guys, I'm not sure they're totally set 1-9 or 1-10 on what they're going to keep.
I also heard that Denver just released one of their outside linebackers, a veteran.
Gonna need
another guy with a name that is kind of like
another guy with a name,
Okinawa or something like that. But I think he's an 8-year veteran outside linebacker.
Who?
I don't know.
You can't just give me his resume.
They just released him. They just released him. So
I mean, we've been at practice for literally the last 2 hours. So I don't
more than 2 hours. Longest practice ever.
Kevin, if you go on the Twitter, there's a possibility you might see. No, Kevin's like, no.
He just waved you off.
I think we're having problems again with the streams.
Well, now he's pointing at you. Now we got Eric coming in.
Eric's here.
Evidently, practice has finally ended.
It was a long practice. It
started two long practices. Yesterday also went well beyond the time that they said. But our own
week, long practices.
Yeah, and our own B-Low brought that up as a possibility. They probably didn't do much, if anything, on Sunday. And normally you would have the 3 work days before a game. So I think they worked him a little extra hard, Freddie.
Yeah, well, that's
good. For the St. Louis Rams.
Well, they were indoors today, right? And yesterday?
Yes.
Were they full pads?
No, shells. No.
Okay, so they couldn't have worked that hard.
Oh, no, they were long.
Long. Your idea of working hard and mine, in this regard, I think are a little bit different. I don't think it was overly physical. I think you're right about that. But they were out there for a long time.
Mentally taxing.
Yeah, and they did a lot of reps. Eric, by the way, you nailed the food thing to a T.
Foobar.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Foobar.
Yeah, you nailed it. The food is outstanding.
I'm sorry, but I just thought of that guy. It can be long. It can be hard. It can be long and hard. That guy that edits all our words into dirty sentences.
Right.
And you nailed it.
It's
long
hard.
And hard. You nailed it.
Hard. Working hard. They worked him extra hard.
There's pizza out there, too, you know.
Is these a Philly cheesesteak?
Yes. You don't want the Buffalo one?
That's Buffalo?
Eric's here. Well, why don't we do first thing first? Why don't we update guys on what happened in practice today? Because that, you know, we won't have access tomorrow.
A lot of stuff.
One thing that's somewhat important, there's a group of guys that have returned to practice since our last show. And there's also some guys that have been added to the list of missing. So we'll stick with the positive first. Gary Guyton, Lee Bodden, and Tully Bantakane all returned to practice yesterday, among others. But, you know, those are three starters, probably, all returned to practice. And they've been out there the last couple of days. They were out there today as well. On the flip side, missing some guys like Aaron Hernandez, Julian Edelman. Rookie Jermaine Cunningham remains on the sideline. A little disappointing there. I think people want to see this guy play. Haven't gotten a chance to see him yet, and here we are heading into the third preseason game. So there's a list of 9 guys that are still out of action. Most of those are the same ones that missed all of camp. You have guys like Matthew Slater, Brett Lockett, guys of that ilk. But you're also now dealing with Edelman and Hernandez. Hernandez has a knee problem. He had a brace on his knee. Did a lot of looked like a lot of running, trying to get that loose. Did some bike work. But whatever it was enough to keep him out of practice for 2 days. So, you know, something to keep an eye on.
Turn his mic on. I should note that I think some of Gronkowski's, because, I mean, he must have caught 15 passes yesterday, caught like 4 touchdowns early in practice today. I think there's a chance he's picking up some of the reps that would have been Hernandez, because in 7-on-7, a lot of reps split out wide, doing various roles, X, Y, Z. Paul likes to, you know, name them specifically.
But he's definitely taking advantage of them, though.
He doesn't drop the ball.
He's taking advantage of everyone.
He's Moss-like.
And, Eric, you're saying that you don't think Hernandez's injury is that severe?
Well, it didn't look like it the way he was acting on the field.
No, I mean, he's, like, playing under the goalpost, throwing the ball up to himself, jumping, and you don't do that.
He was running,
running
sprints.
The only thing I will say, but I totally agree. I don't think it looks all that serious, but it's exactly what we said about Torrey Holt.
Well, a little different.
That's, yeah. He was jumping around, running with the ball, and doing all the
and
things that
And we still don't know what
doing.
His health status is.
And all of a sudden, he got put on IR.
He may have had a tweak. Yeah, and he signed an injury thing, and he'll be playing for the Jets in week two or something. I mean, I just think there's...
Why the Jets?
Why else? We play in week two, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but why... You know, why
we hate the Jets.
Why could he be playing for the Bengals in week
one? I don't
one?
Know. If they're going to make Kevin O'Connell a captain so that he can spread information, I think Torrey Holt would be a nice choice.
Okay.
But the bottom line is G-Force is phenomenal.
He really is.
He has probably had the ball thrown in his direction upwards of, I'd say, 40 times the last 2 days. And I can't
and he's
recall
caught every one.
I can't recall one that wasn't complete. Not one.
So it'll be interesting to see what, on September 12th, what role he has.
A big one.
You think so? Right,
yes.
Right out of the gate?
Yes.
And it's not.
And all these other stories are great and all. Brandon Tate and Julian Edelman, and we're loaded at these receivers and options.
I'm not sold on all those guys. I am sold on Gronkowski that he can be, you know, given Paul's little disclaimer that assuming his back holds up, right?
Yeah.
We haven't
why
had
is
any
that my disclaimer?
Because you're big on back injuries. You thought Vollmer's was an issue. You're a little hesitant with Gronkowski.
Legitimately so, though.
No, I know. So,
Cashier.
Right, well. Yes.
Yeah, back injuries
were. So you went one for three. Good
football
job.
Players, I'm sorry.
But I'm not
no,
sold. Like Brandon
time
Tate,
last year too.
I'm not sold that he can be a regular option for the offense. I am sold that Rob Gronkowski can
and the important the important part to add to that is it looks like Tom Brady is sold too, because
well that's the key.
It's not just that Gronkowski's getting all these passes thrown to him as the second or third checkoff. Brady is taking the snap and actively looking for him.
No, that's the key.
Right
earning
off the bat.
Brady's confidence will be the key for any of these young guys, Taylor Price or Gronkowski.
And we should say that Brady was very open yesterday on EEI talking about how they've pared down the offense and those guys don't even know that there's like two more playbooks that are coming. You know, they're digesting what they can now, but the things that he, Moss, and Welker do know adjustments, those are on the horizon for those guys.
Well, the other thing I love about Gronkowski was, you know, The touchdown catch was just a thing of beauty. But even the short passes where it took three, four guys to bring him down, that's what you're looking for in your tight end.
And
you're
we've
looking
seen
for a guy that, you know, it takes an army to bring him down.
And
he's
going
to fight for every yard.
But
because
Andy,
on third down,
that's
when,
what you're
need,
looking for.
When you need five or 6 yards, and, you know, he just, because of his sheer size, is able to get that extra yard that you need. That's what you're looking for.
I think we've gotten a nice sampling of his versatility over the first two preseason weeks.
Yep.
You know, you had some blocking in the first game, the nice block on the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis touchdown run, another block where he got, you know, didn't hold it as long as he probably should have, short passes, and he was undersold. He had a lot of long receptions at Arizona, big you know, not 80-yard plays, but in that, you know, 20 to 40-yard range. He actually had a better yards per catch average than Hernandez, who's supposedly the wide receiver, and so I think he has a little bit more of a, I won't say big play ability, but intermediate play ability than people give him credit for. He's not just a security blanket 5 yards from the line. He'll have 20-plus yard receptions, I think, which I'm looking forward to. Today, I wished it hadn't come at the expense of James Sanders in coverage, but, you know.
I think nothing breaks the back of a defense more than, aside from a quarterback who scrambles for the first down, is that tight end.
That you can't stop?
Right.
No one knows better that than these New England Patriots, because they have fallen victim to that for the last
and he really,
3 years. It's frustrating.
He towers
you can be there
over
and you
everybody.
Can't do anything.
He towers over everybody. The only one on the team is Vollmer, who he doesn't tower over. But, I mean, especially the safeties, the defensive backs, they have no chance against him. He just boxes them out. They throw the ball up, and he jumps. I mean, it's a great weapon that Brady's never
Hernandez
had.
And if Hernandez can get his act together, oh, my God. I mean, you know, we're really tall.
I mean, what do you mean by that?
No, I just think that they each
staying
are
healthy?
So.
Is that what you mean?
I mean, he's missed two days here.
No,
he
but
hasn't exactly.
No, but they're very complimentary. You know, having them both on the field together. You know, Hernandez with the quickness and Gronkowski with the, you know, the size. It really, you know. Presents problems for defense
to
match up.
If you have a fantasy football team and those two guys were on it,
yeah,
Hernandez would get all your yards and Gronkowski would get all your touchdowns.
That's what I'm getting.
Well, right now, it looks maybe Gronkowski's going to get you. If he's going to make 20-yard catches, he's going to get his yards too.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to have a ton of
catches.
Well,
but like Andy said, he's getting a lot of the reps and looks that Hernandez probably would have gotten too.
All right. So. I have to leave. So
he just gave me the look into the camera.
I just came to say hello to everybody. I feel like I haven't been on the show for a long
time.
Well,
why don't time. We? Why don't we
take you came on? It wasn't
you guys
your
were
best
asses.
Effort.
Why don't we take? Oh my
no,
god!
No, you were asses.
My god!
I call in.
We're still getting calls about. We're still getting emails
yeah,
about that
because you made it so. You made it like
you
that.
You made it so.
You know.
Yes,
we are email driven. Our email.
I made you say that the only
girl.
Guy that you noticed on the Atlanta Falcons was Brian.
You
Finnery.
Asked me who did you notice. I said Brian Finnery. He goes, oh, white stiff from Villanova.
I didn't
well,
say
who
that.
Who cares where he's from? Where you
I
think?
Said that's the best you could come up with.
That's the guy he was making
the
plays.
The fifth receiver on the depth chart.
I tell you guys, I'm watching the Patriots defense and their offense, and you asked me about John Abraham.
I thought you could see the whole field.
Well, no, my back was to it. Ask Eric. It's not like where
yeah,
we were.
It's not like the way we had to watch practice.
His back was to you.
That's right.
Blah, 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 blah.
We were watching opposite fields.
We actually did ask Eric about that.
And he said he made one diving catch right at your feet, and that's why it stuck out.
He also made some other catches.
When my back was turned?
Right.
Fred saw some other ones.
Anyway, all right, I got to go.
No, we got to keep talking.
We got all kinds of...
It is hitting
we got
the
two monkeys here. In the studio
yeah,
now.
Yeah, two monkeys.
What is that other one doing in here?
I believe the stream is down.
Oh, good.
Oh, so we have
you never want to have a weak stream.
We have a going problem.
Don't cross
you
the
stream. We have a growing problem.
I did notice this morning that they were having a problem.
Who's they?
What the hell is going on out here?
All right. Freddie's out.
Freddie's out.
Eric will be stepping into the big chair shortly.
Yeah, whenever we get to a break.
But right now we don't have any...
what else you need?
Any stream, so...
Oh, I wanted to tell Fred the Sammy Morris story.
What's Sammy Morris?
Yeah, you're going to have to keep that one for Fred upstairs.
We're not telling that on the air? So you tell me you don't want me to put that on the blog?
I don't think we should be
okay.
putting that on the blog.
I won't then.
Do you?
We need like a
if you
secondary
think we should,
like
not...
secret blog where we all our inside listeners know where to go to
yeah,
find
I think
school.
That might be one that they probably...
Well, then they probably shouldn't do these things 15 feet in front of the media.
But coaching interaction and whatnot. And
okay.
I know you're not quoting
anybody. I can't quote him. I don't know a word he said. I'm viewing it from afar.
Which
well, actually, not really from afar.
Has potential to get you in even more trouble.
No, not if I tell exactly what I saw.
But if you tell it wrong.
I can't tell it wrong, because what I saw is what I saw. It's fact.
Okay.
Not opinion.
And that's the way it should. Yeah.
Should we talk about the defense?
What about your defense?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Lee Bodden is back, but not necessarily back with the ones or the group that also lines up opposite with Vince Wilfork and all those other guys who some people would consider the starters.
People are saying ones and twos now more often.
Bill actually got a question today about starters, and he didn't shoot it down, so I feel like we can call them starters. But anyway, Butler and McCourty have continued to get a lot of reps in that top group on defense.
As first noted, by the way, by you and I, a long time ago, before Bodden even got hurt, there seemed to be developing
a three-man battle
for those two spots, not a battle between just Butler and McCourty for that starting job.
Boy, is Bodden overpaid as a backup.
It seemed to be a three-man battle. And right now, as much as I don't like to say it because my personal favorite, I think Butler has looked the worst out of those three guys. Now,
well,
I don't think he's looked bad.
Because he hasn't stepped up.
He hasn't looked terribly
he's looked
bad.
He's the same.
But I think that McCourty, I think we know what we have in Bodden. And McCourty, I think, has been more impressive in the summer than Butler has.
Because he's Butler from last year. That's the difference.
But I think that McCourty's made some plays. Butler
made some last year. That's the difference.
But he hasn't this year.
That's
what
my
I'm
point.
Talking about.
He's in the honeymoon, so you give him the benefit of the doubt, assuming he's going to get better, whereas Butler hasn't gotten better. That's what I think Butler's getting screwed by right now. And if he never gets better, then he's
Listen,
done.
Listen, I don't want to don't misunderstand me. I'm not down and giving up on Butler or anything. I'm not, you know, overly concerned about his development at this stage. But I don't think that he made the amount of plays last year that McCourty has made this year.
Oh, I do.
And I love Butler. You know that.
I do. I mean, I think in week one against the Bills, he was making nice breaks on the ball. I saw it. Throughout the season, I thought he made some nice breaks on balls. This year, haven't seen it once. Let me know when he makes a nice break on a ball.
I was talking more about last summer than a whole year.
I don't know.
You know, he had a whole year worth of time to make plays as opposed to summer.
I would say
sheer volume, if we're going to use the whole – you're right. Sheer volume, he had – hundreds and hundreds of opportunities to make plays. I'm sure he made more than
he's had hundreds this summer. I haven't
than
seen
a guy
yet.
Has in 1 month.
If anything,
of play.
I'd say he's regressed in his playmaking.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's been overly impressive. But
I
that doesn't mean I'm concerned about him.
I am a little bit.
I think that he still has some ability, but it's definitely, in my opinion, a three-way fight for those jobs. I would be surprised if Bodden didn't
start. James Sanders and Lee Bodden are on the bench making a combined
$8 I would be surprised if Bodden didn't start.
That's horrendous.
Because I think it would be you have a chance to have McCourty, Butler, Chung out there together starting, you know, three really young defensive backs with probably a subpar pass rush. I think you're inviting trouble.
Sure. Oh, I'll be stunned if Bodden doesn't start.
I would be very
absolutely
surprised.
Stone
very
cold
surprised
stunned.
If Bodden's not on the field. But, you know, like you said, you get two high, you know, two reasonably high priced guys as backups there, and that would be surprising.
Although Sanders actually
reason.
Last 2 days has gotten a lot of reps, and it really
yeah,
feels
he's had
like
a positive
he's a
step.
It feels like he's a regular down first and 10 from the 20 starter, but that anytime he gets anywhere near any sub situation other than goal line. He's kind of out. He has a weird he's like a run-stuffing safety.
It's like they have all these situational players on defense.
Yeah.
They have like 16 or 17 starters. And you wonder, you know, if the right combinations can be found. That's what it's going to be.
At the right times.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Against the right looks. And I think Bill's told us more often than not, no, it isn't. You can't be platooning at all these positions because the offense will put you in positions you don't want to be in.
You don't want to be in.
I think it's interesting.
How are we working on that stream now, fellas?
Still weak.
He just threw his hands up in the air.
Chris is not
Ferreira.
Happy. Chris is not happy to the point where I don't really even feel comfortable making fun of him.
What did I miss at the top of the show? What did you guys start off with?
We talked about practice and the game a little bit.
A little bit
Atlanta.
About the Falcons.
Yeah, not a game.
Nope.
A game.
Okay. Well, Pablo in Mexico City.
We're talking about practice, man. Not a game. Practice.
Pablo in Mexico City writes in at webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. The phone
I can't
number.
Hear what you're saying, he says.
Says, guys, watching Thursday night's game at Atlanta, a couple of things jumped out at me. Please give your thoughts on the following quick points. Number one, Devin McCourty looked, again, like he belongs on an NFL field. Very impressed with him so far. I think that's what
yes.
we were all just saying not 2 minutes ago. Number two, it looks like there's still some life in the career of one Ron Brace. I think he should get some reps with the ones versus the Rams to see if he can at least hold his ground. If he poops the bed, well, that's what preseason is for.
I think he looked good. I don't think he'll get reps with the ones because I think they need to get
the ones ready. Yeah.
You know, I think you need to get Mike
Gerard Warren, Damian Lewis.
If Damian Lewis plays, you need to get him some reps too.
And he's been back at practice, so
yes. yeah.
that's encouraging.
But theoretically, Brace, I mean, he should be a better option long-term than Wright. I think he's a more traditional defensive lineman.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
And he's been getting some runs since he's been yep. back.
And he made
today
a play.
He was on the goal line. The
made
first
a play
goal
against Atlanta.
First goal line unit, in parentheses.
Yeah, I thought it was notable today. Andy chastised me for pointing
out. Well, I had already noted it. It was so notable, I'd already noted it.
Andy yelled at me because, of course, he already knew that.
And
guy shows up late, tells me how to do my job. my first rodeo.
Third point from Pablo.
It's like Junior Seau coming in mid-year. Hey, Mayo, you're supposed to see what the running back does first. Thanks, Junior. I've been here all the year.
All the year.
Except you're no Junior Seau.
Paul's having a conniption fit over here.
Because this goes back to, you should have seen the face he gave me at practice.
Okay, Pablo, third point. It looks to me like Patrick Chung actually tried to tackle people instead of awkwardly bouncing off them as they go for a first down. He looks like he's developing into a solid player.
Who did?
Pat Chung.
I've developed an analysis of his abilities.
Go ahead.
Put your arms out at a 45-degree angle in front of you. That's where Patrick Chung is at his best tackling. Coming forward in front of him, basically.
Yeah.
When he's going parallel to the line of scrimmage or going chasing, not as good a tackler. You know what he's good at? He's good at everybody gives Troy Polamalu that shot out of a missile tackle.
So north-south, you know, not east-west.
Well, some east-west. I mean, literally, kind of in your
better
line north-south, of vision.
Though.
If your headlights are on, the part that would be lit up by your headlights in the car.
I more agree with Andy here. I think there was some. I thought he made some impressive plays coming up twice, once against the Saints, once against the Falcons, stopping a guy who caught a pass immediately in his tracks, shy of the first down. That's what you're looking for. But I also saw missed tackles.
Right.
And that's not what I'm looking for
he's
out of safeties.
He's got to be coming forward. That's it.
I don't want safeties missing tackles. And, you know, unfortunately, the Patriots have too many of them.
Kevin, can we take a quick break and reset and get the show started after a little bit of a timeout here? Okay, we'll do that and join us on the other side.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot,
it was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays,
but
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in the studio, Paul, Andy, Eric, Kevin behind the glass. We finally have the issues resolved.
We're up and running.
Stream is nice and strong.
Stream is strong. I just don't have any internet, so don't ask me any questions.
Wouldn't ask you any questions even if you had the internet, probably. Wow. Anyway. See, didn't I tell you about the lunch thing with not listening to Doc? You learned your lesson now, right?
Don't ever let Doc.
When Doc tells you anything, come to us first.
If you need advice, call Tamash. He was very good at it.
He was the best at it.
It was his one skill.
I'm trying.
It was his one skill.
I'll one day be the new Brian.
So we started the show with three members, added the fourth, lost the first.
I don't know what kind of problems you got over
there. But Ben from Vermont via England, he says, Was disappointed with your guys' show last week a little bit.
Tell Ben from Vermont via England to suck it.
Wow.
Via me.
You can tell him yourself. Your mic is open. Tough guy.
Oh, I just did.
Ben says, I've been disappointed with the lack of PFW in progress after the preseason games. There's only been one with Andy and Paul on the Tuesday after the first game, and they didn't even talk much about what happened in the game. It'd be great if you guys could have a show on Fridays after the preseason games. That's when everyone is keen to hear your analysis of the game. However, that's when we are asleep because these night games and are traveling and working overnight. We're not really around much during the game. And Patriots Friday is here as well, too.
I mean, if they started Patriots Monday, they've probably started Patriots Friday.
Yeah, I don't know about the Patriots Friday situation, but we talked extensively about the game last Tuesday, even though it was, 4 days after the fact. And we also talked a lot about stuff on the roster podcast on Friday,
indeed,
which you're looking for shows on Fridays. We do a roster podcast on Fridays, and we did one after the Saints game. Now, we did not do one this week after the Falcons game.
That's true.
But normally on Fridays, you can look for our roster report podcast, in which at this time of year, we talk about really the team in general.
Where we preview
the roster.
Exactly. Ethan in Delaware. Haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, guys, after receiving my, he puts in quotes, latest issue of Patriots Football Weekly on Friday, I'm really excited. Training camp is finally starting. Loved all the position breakdowns and roster ranking done by Eric. Certainly hope, in quotes, Mankins shows up and Crable will finally be ready to go. A lot of sarcasm there from Ethan. A lot of sarcasm.
I didn't care for it.
Anyway, I know you're wondering why I did not read the online version earlier, and normally I would download it to my Kindle and read it. But since this was my first issue after renewing my subscription, I needed to wait for the paper to arrive to log in.
Another flaw with us.
Yep. Despite using the same email and password for the past 3 years, the system just cannot seem to remember me, and the confirmation email for the renewal does not include the ID number.
Exactly.
You listening to this, Carol
system.
Hardy?
It's not her fault, she claims.
Well, she claims, but he also claims it wasn't his fault that the stream was down.
That's a common refrain in this building for things that go wrong. It wasn't my fault.
That's what I'm going with when I screw up.
Looking forward to your, in quotes again, timely coverage of the team for another year. By the way, Fred, when does the Fantasy Lowdown return to the internet? I was able to dominate my league last year by listening closely to Brian's advice.
No bleeping way.
And then doing the exact opposite.
Okay, thank you.
The Fantasy Lowdown, Delaware, I think, is going to start next week.
Doing a preview.
We'll see if we get the monkeys behind the glass in on that. But if you are interested, Ethan, now that you can get online, you can see the latest edition of PFW, which hits newsstands today, right?
Back in action.
Yep.
And
back in the game.
The 2010 debut of the Fantasy Lowdown appears in that issue. So Brian Lowe and his fantasy rankings are available right now online. You can check them out at pfwonline.com.
Andy, have you caught up with the Hard Knocks episodes?
I've watched one, the first one, not the second.
The first one. So,
and I saw parts of the second one.
You and I have seen the second one and not the first one. Andy's seen the first one,
and I didn't see all of the first one. I didn't see all of the second one either.
What'd you think?
I was a little bored. There was some interesting stuff, but I was a little bored by it. I didn't think it was great. Rex Ryan's funny. He's engaging. We'll see.
Was that the one where he was throwing the ball up against the wall and said, I love it when I'm right?
That
was the second one?
I actually saw that one. About LT. I love being right.
A lot of Revis stuff in the first one. He does bed check and opens the door and goes, I wish.
Yep.
And closes the door. Tannenbaum goes to meet his representatives. Tannenbaum talks to his representatives on the phone for a while, and then he sits down with Woody Johnson and says, you know, the funny thing is, at the end of the day, he goes home to his wife, and we go home to our wives, and Woody Johnson goes, yeah, you always got to keep the women happy or something. It's like this weird, I don't even know what it was about.
Good for morale,
yeah,
Paul.
It was very
good for morale.
Very 50s businessman-like. And then the Tannenbaum prints out clips to hand to Woody Johnson. He's very excited. Everybody's talking about the Jets. And he's like, Johnson & Johnson doesn't get this much press or whatever. And it's not a football team. It's not an entertainment company, you idiot. And if it does, it's going to be bad press. It's going to be about a recall of something.
Chris from New York, speaking of the Jets, writes in, subject line, I hate the Jets. I'm from New York, but grew up a huge Pats fan. This year has me very worried about the Jets and Dolphins, especially due to the fact that my girlfriend's a diehard Jets fan. In a non-cap year, what reason do you think the Patriots had in not making any big offseason moves, even after the Jets made 1,000 good moves?
don't know, I thought when you spent $100 million, it was a pretty expensive offseason for Vince Wilfork and Tully Bantakane and
Lee Bodden
and everybody else.
Steven
they
Neal.
Spent a lot of money.
They spent a lot of money.
They
retained
their own guys.
Their
I understand the problem.
Yeah.
The team couldn't compete last time we saw them on the football field. They kept that team together. But, you know, they spent money. You can't argue that they didn't spend money this year. And they went out and had a big draft. And if the draft is as good as some
2 years in a row, they've
it,
had a big draft. And they'll probably have a big draft in 2011.
They're retooling on the run here, so to speak.
I mean, with all the picks they're stockpiling for 11, it looks like they could be
a... Sure, they're going to have extra high picks again, you know, second
This could
one.
Be a great team in 2014. No, I mean, really, it could be another great team.
That's Eric Scalavino.
It could be a great team for years to come.
Who's the quarterback in 2014?
Well, that's the question.
And if it's the same guy, is he as good?
That's a big question.
And is he still screaming like a girl like he does during drills on the football field at times?
Did you give that context already? Or
no, I just said he screams like a girl. Tom Brady has a new favorite drill by all appearances. Bill O'Brien has been pretty, I would say, creative in some of his drills, kind of putting his stamp on the offense and the quarterbacks in particular. He is, of course, quarterback's coach on this football team. And one of his drills is he... Rapid fire snaps balls to the quarterback. He's got receivers on each flank, kind of 3 to 5 yards downfield on the right and the left, and yells out right, left, or sometimes Lou and Rhonda, you know, the code names.
Right.
Hard
World
to
people
break.
Off. Exactly.
You know, world of football. Now we know why they got to work 20 hours a day to come up with Rip and Liz and Lou and Rhonda. But, and then the quarterbacks have to throw where he tells them. It's kind of one of those Simon Says type things, and there's different. Sometimes you have to throw to opposite of what he says, and sometimes the other quarterbacks are there pointing in the other direction to confuse you. And Brady seems to really get a kick out of it, especially when Brian Hoyer screws up and throws to the wrong one, and he just screams like a little girl and runs across the field excitedly.
And
what
you
about
get
when he's running 40-yard dashes with.
Oh,
his,
he also got beat in a
and a sprint with Stephen Neal.
Stephen Neal
and a couple of other O-linemen.
Well,
the other O-linemen came behind him. Well, Steve Neal beat him.
The other quite fat cows were leg and leg with him, Mr. Skinny Athlete. Skill position player. The fat cow.
Man.
One fat cow beat him and the other were right on his tail.
Who are you calling fat cows anyway, Andy?
I didn't call anyone fat cows.
Brady called his offensive line fat cows.
Maybe Paul, but...
The practices, though... The last couple of days have looked like there have been a lot more of those fun drills for most of the positions.
Right.
Do you think maybe just because we're closer... And
no,
we're
I
taking
think
note of
they're,
a lot of
they're
different
doing
things that we didn't
a little bit. Moss has been very vocal. You know, some of them I think are normal. Brady and Wilfork continue to have things.
Great cash, homie.
Give the fist pound at different times, passing. I don't know if that has its roots when Wilfork celebrated in the backfield after his pass defense.
And we should point out the reason I said that we're closer is these two practices in New England, very rainy the last 2 days.
Windy.
The practices have been indoors in the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse, so... Our vantage point is probably not as good in terms of being able to oversee
right.
because we're lower, almost ground level, so it's kind of hard to see everything like you would up on the hill outdoors at training camp, but we are closer to the action
mm-hmm.
than we normally are.
Hugh Doe frequently writes in, Hugh Doe, Vietnamese type name, it
Never
looks like.
Never heard of Hugh Doe.
Yes, you have. He's written in before, or she. I think it's a he. What's up, y'all? Heard Mankins is willing to sit out for the 2010 season hand in hand with the
Southern
Revis situation.
What's up, y'all?
That's the way he wrote it.
Okay. What did you say he was?
Vietnamese.
He said
it sounds Vietnamese.
He said it was
the way
a
it's spelled. It's H-I-E-U and then capital D-O. It's separate name. So it looks like it's Vietnamese.
Never heard of Billy Bear.
Yeah, he's written him before. And he'll be mad. When he writes back in and says, Paul, I can't believe you didn't know me.
I mean no disrespect.
It must be Italian.
You may not mean it, but he took it.
To the Koreans or whatever.
No, I don't know the name I'm talking about. I don't.
To the Orientals.
Which player is more needed to his team? He's talking about Revis or Mankins.
Revis.
I think Revis.
Not who's better, he follows up. Seriously.
Well, Revis is definitely better, but I think Revis is more important to his team, too.
Yeah. No doubt. That defense, what makes it run. And,
okay.
I mean, the Jets are willing to... The first 10 minutes of the Hard Knocks I saw was him saying how good he is. We can still win without him, but he's a pretty good player now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone in the world knows how good he is, including Darrelle Revis, who is, you know, adamant on that.
I'll tell you.
Right. But, I mean, Mankins is a... First of all, he's a guard. So, he's a guard.
And Hugh continues, seriously, rename the Patriots line the Berlin Wall. If it won't collapse right away, it will soon enough. Mankins is obviously gone. When do you think he'll be traded? Coming weeks or next year when we would franchise and trade him?
So I actually thought that was going to be a good nickname for Sebastian Vollmer, the Berlin Wall.
That's where I thought it was going. That's why I
said, really
wow.
Took a turn for the ugly. Tear down that wall.
I mean, why is it so bad? I mean, there's one guy that's not your normal starter.
I mean, you
there's a lot. There are a lot of questions.
They've changed two starters from last year, but you.
But could, everybody's in love with one of them.
Yeah, you could argue that one of them.
I'm going to call him the Berlin Wall
player.
In a good sense.
He's a better player than the guy he's replacing.
Except when
Vollmer,
he threw the guy into Brady during the game the other night.
Oh, he got
Corey.
Killed.
No, Croy.
Croy Bierman.
Croy Bierman. Oh. Bierman.
Listen.
And Connolly has looked pretty good, I think, in the
I
preseason.
I think he's done all right.
I think you're losing a lot, losing Mankins, but I'm with Andy here. It's a guard.
He plays an area that's like
a confined
6 feet wide.
Is he
whereas
be
Darrell
so
Revis
bad?
has the whole field and is one-on-one with the likes of Andre Johnson, Rand. Remember that whole list they had in his bio last year of, you know, held Moss to 2 for 30, held Andre Johnson to 3 for 22. Mm-hmm. There was a list
the
of
list
like
went
six
on and
receivers
on forever.
That are the six best in the game, or pretty damn near it,
and I think
shut him down.
And I think the way they play, and this is in a little bit less tangible, but the way they play defense, I think, is reliant on a top level cover corner to cover up for that stuff. Because if you want to go crazy and blitz all out, all these different plays, you're not going to get there all the time. And they didn't get there all the time last year, the Jets. But what they try to do is hurry you into making quick decisions and quick throws, and they know they have a guy who's going to be around the receiver. And what happens is when Revis plays as well as he did last year, that's eliminating one of those hot guys, because you're not going to try to throw it to him unless you know the guy's open. So now you're limiting yourself to half the field. I think to play the way they want to play, they need a guy like Revis. More
so than
the Patriots.
People used to hate Mankins. Didn't they hate him after the Super Bowl that he sucked?
Well, they hated the whole offensive line at that point.
Well, now they're willing to pay him $55 million to come back.
Short memories.
Yeah, I think a lot of Mankins. You guys know that, and I know we all feel the same
way.
We
all do.
I'm not speaking out of turn here.
No.
I just don't think that you can. I don't think you can acquiesce to his demands. I don't think you can make him the highest paid guard. I just don't think it's important enough. Now, if there's not going to be a cap moving forward and all that stuff, then fine, give it to him. But we know there is going to be. We know there is going to be. So you can't. You can't blow your salary structure out of the water.
TJ doesn't say where he's from. It looks as though Mankins won't be on the roster till week 10? And there are question marks at defensive end.
Not at all.
Even though there's Warren and Lewis, former first-round picks. Does going for someone like O.C. Umanura make sense to trade for? They need linemen, and we could always use depth at defensive end.
Well,
I don't think he'd be a defensive end for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be an edge guy in the mold of a pass rusher, a situational. Because I also don't think he'd be a true outside linebacker for them either. So, sure, I'd take him because I still think that edge is as weak as can be.
He's an intriguing player.
Fatal flaw written all over it in my eyes, and I would take him. But
I
don't know that he's the perfect fit by any means.
I'm not quite sure what happened to him and what is happening, I should say, to him.
Last I saw, he's saying, I'm going to be the best backup I can be.
Yeah, I read all that stuff. I'm not sure why he fell out of favor. I don't know if that knee injury sapped him of, maybe his first step, because he's a speed edge guy, and you know how it goes. You lose a step somewhere along the line, and maybe you're just not the same guy. So, I like the player though. I think he's an effective pass rusher, and I'd like to see him. You know, if Bill just wanted to use him in a situational way, I agree with Andy though. I don't think he could be a traditional outside linebacker, and he's certainly not 300 plus pounds to play defensive end in the Patriots 3-4.
Your boy, Andy. The G-Force show,
yes,
that we've seen the last couple of days. Alex in Edmonton, his subject line, G-Force. Says,
which,
I
by the way, let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
Andy is starting to have that spread throughout the media. So
be
on the lookout for that in mainstream media.
Right.
Are we going to be seeing G-Force T-shirts anytime soon?
Maybe.
Bumper stickers?
Maybe. It's a budding marketing.
You gotta campaign. Well, if you had the internet, it would have you queue up the old comic, the cartoon.
Yeah, if I had the internet.
If you had the internet.
That would be helpful for a producer to have, wouldn't
or
it?
Or the new movie that's about gerbils or something. You've probably seen it, Eric.
Anyway, Alex and Edmonton, I feel obligated.
I thought you liked gerbils.
No. I feel obligated to say that I threw up my hand in celebration when I saw the ball halfway to Gronk, knowing he had it.
Woo!
It's a totally different feeling than, oh, crap, I hope he catches it like Watson.
Speaking of which, have you seen that catch?
What?
The catch that Watson made?
Oh, again, in Cleveland? Heard everybody talking about it.
It's an unbelievable catch. It's typical Benjamin Watson.
It's what he does.
It's absolutely typical Benjamin Watson.
And our friend James in Brisbane, down under.
Under what?
He kind of wrote this after you guys had done your show on Tuesday. So he says, Paul and Andy, hope you guys haven't killed each other this week. If you feel the need to get angry with anyone, blame Bilo or Chris Ferreira, the web monkey.
Yes.
Put that in parentheses.
I'm always willing to blame Ferreira.
Just a quick one today. After a week plus of playing Madden, I think I'm more in love with GeForce than Andy. It's just a video game, but still, that has me really excited about how he could be used, even picked up in two fantasy leagues.
He's going to score touchdowns, I think, so.
So let me get this straight.
You like video games and fantasy football.
The Patriots' enthusiasm right now is based on
Madden.
Two preseason games.
And a video game.
In Madden. Okay.
Mine's not. You know that. I've been enthusiastic forever, Paul. It's just who I am.
I'm just playing. Mine's not either, because they have looked very impressive this summer.
James continues, I can see him and Hernandez killing the cover two teams we play. I'm calling it now. 15 catches, 150 yards, and a TD between them against the Colts. Or so I'm hoping. Anyway, quick answer game for you. You guys always like games.
I love games.
I'll name the player. You guys say where they start the season. 53-man, practice squad, IR, cut. Ready? Ted Larson.
Cut.
Practice squad.
Practice squad, I agree. Kyle Love.
Cut.
Cut. Cut. With a chance for the practice squad.
Brandon Dedrick.
53-man.
53.
I think 53 as well. Thomas Williams.
Practice squad. Is he still eligible?
Yeah, I think he is. I'll say practice squad too.
Practice squad.
Yep. All right. Consensus.
That's the hardest one so far for me.
Dane Fletcher.
Cut.
Cut. With a chance at the practice squad, since that's obviously an option.
If I got Thomas Williams on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I can't keep them both on the practice squad.
Oh, you could have two linebackers on the practice squad.
I don't know if you want two inside linebackers on the practice squad.
I'll say cut, too, but I think he does make the practice squad. Thomas Welch.
Practice squad.
Practice squad.
I don't know why I think this. I really don't. I think they like those two rookie linemen, and I don't know why. I have nothing to base that on.
I'll say he makes the 53 as, like, the very last lineman.
Oof. I don't know
how you can do that.
That's
a tough call, but I know. You don't want to cut a draft pick either. And if you cut him...
Why are you cutting Ted Larson but not cutting Thomas Welch?
I said practice squad. Well, yeah,
you
got to
cut him either
way.
That's true.
You're right. Had a Fred moment there.
I'm never happy. No, you didn't call him Ned Larson.
They just cut a draft pick yesterday.
Yeah, technicality.
Well, it's a technicality.
Unless there's another Belichick out there to claim him.
Well, unless
he's going to go on IR,
unless Josh McDaniels picks him up.
I think that's one of those maneuvers.
Yeah, it was cut, injured. So if he passes waivers, he ends up on the IR.
Oh, okay. It didn't say that in the release, did it?
Well, no, it never would. They don't do those details.
You mean the facts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Plus,
according to reports,
he's still able to be picked up by any team.
Sure. Right. No, you're right.
Right?
You're right. Three more here. Your boy, Zach Robinson. Z-Rob.
Cut.
Cut. I agree. Thomas Clayton. I'm afraid. Cut.
Cut.
Yeah.
KK.
Yep. And Rod Owens. This is a tough one.
Practice squad.
Practice squad.
I think he goes practice squad, too. He's shown some ability.
He almost took out the head coach on the goal line today.
Yeah, he almost lost his practice squad eligibility today.
James,
made the catch, though.
He does. He's got some pretty good hands.
I think he's been the most impressive of the
Buddy Farnham type,
the unknown receivers.
Right. Yeah, Buddy has definitely.
There's not that many of them this year. Most of the receivers that are on the roster kind of we knew about.
And Buddy's definitely peaked and is on the downward end, it looks like, sadly for him. James ends. Loving the magazine, by the way. Subscribed last week. All the best. Thank you,
James. 2 months, you'll get your first issue.
Excellent game. Thank you. Great contribution.
Oh, wait, he's an international guy, so he can get it.
He can get it
once he gets
online.
The code.
Yeah, exactly.
If he has the right code. Changes every day.
Before you get to the next one, Eric, we got a phone call in here.
Okay, we got a call.
In here?
Yeah.
Your Google chat doesn't
work
either?
Yeah, I can't. That's why I'm interrupting you.
Who do we got?
We have Brad from Baltimore.
Brad from Baltimore. What's up, my man?
Bradley.
What do I call him?
Eastern Shore.
Eastern Shore.
Yeah, Brian's from Baltimore. Brad's from the Eastern Shore.
Okay. Wow, you can't even get that right, Kevin.
Hey, Jeez. You know, it's nice, guys. Thanks for joining PFW today.
Is that a shot at us? Is that a shot at our stream?
The stream.
I bribed Kevin not to blow me up when I said that. So
I'm not sure his blow up button works. Or his doll.
No, you guys. I flew home here and flipped it on at 12 o'clock, and then went, "Oh man, they're not on until 2.
And then we weren't really on at 2
either.
And
then you weren't really on at 2 either.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of monkeys.
We're having some issues. It's preseason for everybody.
No, it's true, but it's getting closer. It's getting closer.
We're not ready.
I'm wondering, our discussion from last week, offensive line versus defensive line. Now, which one do you think is still having the bigger issue?
I still go with defensive line.
How about the other two?
I think I'll agree.
The biggest issue of the two lines, I absolutely would say the defensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not bringing in any more defensive linemen, but we're rotating offensive linemen like popcorn.
You haven't made a change to your starting lineup, though.
No, but I'm wondering, why aren't we bringing in any more defensive linemen?
I just don't think there are any really available.
And
you brought in two former first-round picks. You got to give them a chance to prove that.
Yeah.
But more importantly, in terms of the roster moves, I think you're comparing backups to backups.
Right.
I think they like Brandon Dedrick better than they like Ted Larson or Rich Ornberger.
Yeah.
You're comparing bottom of the depth chart.
Now, listen, I might be swayed by you a little bit if, say, next week, I can't pronounce the guy's name, Quinn?
Ojanaka.
Ojanaka is suddenly supplanting Dan Conley.
Right.
As the starting left guard. Then I would say, well, wow, you know, Brad or Brian or whatever his name is in Baltimore or the Eastern Shore, he had it all right.
Somewhere down the coast.
Somewhere down the coast.
Somewhere in the Chesapeake.
You guys know it's only 70 degrees here today?
It's 70 here.
Yeah.
The heat is long gone.
I had long pants and a long pullover on for the first time in a long time.
It was phenomenal today. Saw the game again on the internet and was duly impressed with our offense. I thought the running game showed some real spark. I still am questioning. I don't think I saw Damian Lewis on the field very much.
Well, he didn't play.
He didn't play.
I don't think he went to Atlanta, did he?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he even made the trip.
He should play this week. He's been out on the practice field, so I would think you'll see him
in action. Okay, well, that's what threw me, because I'm like, okay,
he is back.
I didn't see that he was hurt.
Yeah. He missed time, and now he's back. So
he got hurt, actually, in the New Orleans game, first preseason game, and he didn't practice in the meantime, and then he did not make the trip to Atlanta, but he is back now.
Yeah, he was back yesterday. I saw him in the Patriots Monday.
Okay, same thing with Edelman. Did he get hurt when he stretched out for that first down and never came back in the game again?
That's a tough one.
I don't know.
We didn't see it.
I also want to pose the idea. We saw him limp around a little bit on the practice field last week, and he was pulled out of a return rep, and then he didn't see a ton of time in the game, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember him.
He played very little.
I'm wondering if he's dealing with any kind of like a muscle injury, a slight hamstring pull, or something of that. This is total speculation just based on the last week plus we've seen from him. I just wonder if there's maybe a lingering muscle issue there.
Okay. Well, it's that dangerous time of the year when all of a sudden you'd see guys disappear for, you know, 5 or 6 days, and you're wondering, you know, do we have the next Nick Kazier on our hands?
No, you're right. You're right about that. It is that dangerous time of year, though. You know, because if you get something like Andy's describing, you know, a muscle pull, it could potentially knock you out of a game or two, you know, because it's close enough now that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you get a pulled hamstring. You know, you might want to give that a good month to heal,
right.
And now you're dealing with being right on the edge of the timeline. Guys try really hard because it's something about getting back for opening day. You know, you have that pressure. You want to make sure you're out there to start the season, and all of a sudden you end up in a dangerous time. I agree with you.
Okay, well, I just, you know, unfortunately not being able to rewind or double-check anything, it's like, you know, all of a sudden you realize, man, it's like the fourth quarter and you haven't seen so-and-so in the game yet.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it a national game? Why didn't you watch it?
It was on Fox.
It was on Fox. Yeah,
I don't have TV, unfortunately.
You tree-hugging hippie?
No. Family reasons more than anything.
Okay.
Listen, if you weren't already on the phone for 10 minutes, we'd need to have a conversation about this. The next time you call in, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to need to get to the bottom of this. That's unacceptable to me.
We homeschool our kids, so we don't
tree hugging hippie.
We don't like to have a lot of TV time for them.
So how did you watch the game?
On the internet.
Because there's nothing bad on the internet. Distracting or ruined kids on the internet.
Yeah, well,
like porn, bombs, and diddlers.
Did you watch it live or after the fact?
Live.
You watched it live. Okay, because there's, before we let you go, there's a John from Huntsville, Alabama, wrote in something similar to that. He says, I have MLB.com, which allows me to watch the Red Sox games live all season on my computer by streaming video. Is there anything similar for the Patriots where I can view all of the games on my computer as the games are being played and not archived? So what's the site that you use?
I don't think I'll get to see regular season games. The preseason ones are on a website called ATDHE.net.
Which I'm sure that everybody knows.
And every single preseason game has been on that site.
But it's not exactly.
I don't think that one's on the up and up. But I'm going to get to the bottom of this nonsense the next time you call.
Anyway, keep up the good work. Try to get on time for the rest of the week, and we're cruising towards a solid 10-6 record.
All right, screw you, hippie.
Tree hugging hippie.
Wow.
I call him it the first time. He goes, no. Actually, we homeschool our kids.
Homeschool.
You're a tree hugging hippie.
Doesn't have TV, but he goes on the internet.
And isn't he from Vermont or Maine or something?
I think he's from Maine originally.
So he's even got the tree hugging down.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Back to Australia with our emails. LT from Adelaide.
Back down under.
Who makes a little bit of a joke in his intro here.
Underwear.
Based on something
your
that
mother.
Fred did in his blog last week. He says, hello, Andy Kirsch, Fred Perillo, Eric Hart, and Paul Scalavino. First order of business. I'm sure that Fred has some absurdly brilliant story about his trip away. Past goodies include the toilet paper incident at the airport and line seeing that famous dude dreaming about Gino's unit. Well, we do have a story, and it's on the blog.
It's a great one.
So check out the blog, LT.
It's about Eric going home with a group of men instead of a group of women. Is that not accurate? Is that not 100% accurate? As told.
Cox is pretty big.
Does that not
right?
summarize the night? You chose to go home with a group of men instead of a group of women.
Our show should make Cots bigger.
Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.
Just read the blog, LT.
Fred's Cox rant was among the best ever.
Secondly, have to say that the two-men shows definitely require calls from other show members to keep it alive.
Screw you!
Fred's phone call last week was the most useless information I've ever received, but
You're
boy,
a
was
Cox
it entertaining.
Subscriber.
Finally,
you're a Cox subscriber.
Finally,
two-man shows lose the entertaining factor because
you can't have any.
You got to be serious.
You can't have any foolishness.
He reads the emails. The other guy answers it. Maybe he offers. There's not enough time for stupidity.
And when Fred called in,
it got pretty stupid.
Well, it goes without saying.
Hello, who's on the phone?
Foofy fancy.
That's what the S stands for in Fred S. Kirsch. Stupid.
Stupid.
Finally,
Silly.
Fred.
His middle name
S.
He signs that Go Patriots letter at the front of the paper every week.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you his middle name doesn't even begin with an S. He probably just does
like
that because it's
Tommy Curran.
Right, exactly.
What's the E stand for?
Yeah.
Everything.
See, but Tommy Curran sounds like you're just saying Tommy Curran.
That's why he does that.
It's annoying.
So's he.
Yeah, so's he. Finally,
don't tell him that. He'll hit you in the head with a beer bottle.
Finally, Fred, could you please come up with your customary slogan for the upcoming season? Not sure if you did one last year, but I think we need a new one after Embrace the Hate in 08. And please don't let Eric anywhere near coming up with these.
Wow, why? You're pretty creative.
I don't know. LT's got a
I'm the
hair
only one.
I don't
come up with them because Fred shoots them down all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Paul has the hair across his ass when it comes to those things. No football questions here. I'm sure you would have discussed
sure
all that
I had
by
a hair
now.
Across my ass about
clean shaven, actually. Man groomer.
Keep up the good work, the great work. The show is most entertaining when Fred has no idea what the hell is going on.
So we're always entertaining?
So we're always entertaining, apparently. All right,
Beaver
LC.
Beaver Stadium.
Oh. Eric went home with a bunch of guys.
Beaver Stadium.
To be fair, it was a guy who invited us back to the boat, so.
But he was surrounded by how many? Give me a rough estimate.
At least half a dozen.
So you had a chance.
Hey, girl.
And you chose not to take that chance. Life is about taking
chances. Nor
did
anybody else in the group.
But most everyone else in the group is married or spoken for, correct?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you aren't.
Right.
So you should have gone, yeah. You had a chance.
Yeah.
Could have been the night of which all other nights would be compared in your life.
So you're saying he has a chance.
I mean, literally. You could have been...
Oh, they were clearly all drunk.
You could have had two or three women.
They were clearly all over each other.
So better than one in a million.
Oh, yeah.
Cocktail waitress.
I mean, I'm assuming the guy would have taken
on these
two to three of the women. His wife and maybe two others.
And maybe, well, at least
so you had a chance
at
three women. Three, four women.
Yeah. It's possible.
And that you said, no, I'm going to go home with Fred.
I'm not sure he said it like that.
As Fred would say.
We got three wives contributing via the hot box over there. not the way you take it, the hot box, Andy.
Very well done.
How do you know it's hot? Have to have touched
it. All right. Aaron from Sterling, Virginia.
It's a hot box and bags of
bags
sand.
Of the sand. This is the guy that hates you, isn't it, Aaron?
Oh, two Aaron. Balloons. Whoa. It's Aaron, two balloons.
I'm going to need more information.
Can you be way more specific?
And he addresses this to Fred, because I guess Fred was on the show earlier.
For like 2 minutes so he could come eat his salad.
He starts off with a compliment. Great work last week by the whole Pats media team. I especially loved the B-Lo and Vern Troyer segment on Patriots Today. The visual of those.
He's Vern Troyer.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought I was getting it.
No.
No, you're much.
No, you'd fatter. Be you'd be fat bastard from those movies.
Yeah, right? Get in my belly.
The visual of those two had me
He's
laughing.
Fat bastard here. He doesn't need the movies.
I could always eat your salad.
Oh, Laurie Baranski.
It only
in the
took
house.
You 20 minutes to get that sound bite.
Jesus,
why do you guys hate for no reason?
That's Kevin's MO, though. He always has the sound.
Day late and too late. Excuse ready.
It's tough to learn like 400 sound bites.
Here he goes. Here he goes.
It's not my fault this machine stinks.
The visual of those two had me laughing well before you guys put the name Eric Scalavino up on the screen. Good stuff. Just kidding, Eric. You did a great job and kind of looked like a mini-me Matt Lauer. It's actually not the first time I've heard
you
somebody
definitely
say
have
that.
A little Matt Lauer.
No, he definitely
it's between Jerry Seinfeld, Matt Lauer, and
he
Da Vinci.
Looks a little like Matt Lauer. There's no bit. Question
especially
about it.
Especially since Lauer's cut his hair short.
He cheats on his wife, doesn't he?
Cut his hair?
He does?
I don't know. Didn't he get in trouble for that?
I did not
don't
know.
They all?
I think he was one of those hypocrites.
Hello,
perfect. If you had a wife, I'm sure you'd not cheat on her.
No. I can't see Eric doing that.
Although you seem to enjoy your time on screen a bit less than he does. Matt Lauer, I guess, or Brian Lowe. I'm not sure who he was referring to.
No one enjoys it more than B-Lo.
Yeah. Anyway, on to some football-related questions. And since Eric spent the whole week down there, I'd like his particular perspective on a few things. Number one, how did you think Wes Welker's knee looked during the week of practice and the game? It looked fine to me. Didn't seem like there were any issues. You agree?
He didn't ask for my opinion, so I'm not
going to. Oh, Andy's going to sulk. You'll like this, though. Number two.
These are all for you.
Have you seen improvements in the footwork of the O-line? He's just being ridiculous here with the questions now. Number three, what type of cleats were the wide receivers wearing during Thursday's game? And number four, the cameras caught Matt Ryan once on the sideline screaming, "Where's your pot of gold?" Was he talking to you? See, Aaron's having a little fun at my height problem.
Footwork,
yeah,
shoes.
Right.
Please leave
Welker's
me alone, Andy,
knee. Yeah.
I thought it was really short.
Okay, I'll stop
Welker's
there. So
pretty short, too.
And then he signs
short
off.
Eric is. You can see his knee.
No. Actually, Welker and I are basically the same height. He's
Will you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
That was well played.
Yeah, that finally. Okay, I'll stop there so Eric doesn't get short with me. Thanks for letting me have a little fun.
Who's this again? I like
this. This is Aaron, the guy who hates you.
Aaron?
Aaron. A-A-R-O-N.
I've never heard of him.
Like Henry
He's
Aaron?
The guy that writes in all the time and you have this great animosity with.
Really?
Yes.
Again, you need way more specific. Him?
Yeah, he has anger issues.
Usually when Aaron writes in, he says, Andy sucks, you're the worst, you know.
You suck, Aaron.
And he's not
That's
one of the...
usually the...
Yeah, but a lot of those
retort.
People are from Ireland, the ones that write that in. Because
yeah, he's...
No, he just calls them drunk.
He's so lame, he's not
right.
even memorable.
Wow.
Maybe I just
unlike Brooklyn Matt. Or Matt and
oh, yeah, you're starting to have a little...
good feuds with him on
little
the
little feud with him, aren't you?
But he's creative.
So I've been watching ESPN for the last, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, watching the scroll.
Not paying attention to the
stuff about Javon Walker getting signed, Sidney Rice's surgery and whatnot. I've yet to see anything about a name, quote-unquote, name outside linebacker from the Denver Broncos that got released.
Yeah, Fred a Bronco got released, and he's like, I think he's played like 8 years. His name might kind of be like Okajama. What's his name?
Ojanaka.
Ojanaka might be kind of, and I'm like, Fred, we can't go by.
Well, he's not a name player then.
Right. Because I never heard of him until he became a Patriot.
Who did Javon Walker sign with?
The Vikings, I think. Yeah, the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, their receivers are dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. Greg Lewis playing there still?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right, Matt, let's
right.
go. Keep the show rolling.
Alex from Georgia, a.k.a. Paul's Boot. Hello, guys, and Andy.
Screw you, Boot Boy.
And Tubby. Fred and Eric, I'd like to thank you for the outstanding coverage of the Patriots-Falcons practice. Really wish
They're
I could have
guys.
Gotten to meet you.
They avoided women.
I was at both practices last Tuesday and had an outstanding time. It was great to see Welker, Moss, Brady, and company making some plays. That hit, in quotes, that Spikes put on the Falcon player was pretty good, too. Didn't know if you guys noticed, but there was a crazy Falcon fan in the afternoon crowd that was screaming a media guide version of each player on the Falcons, and he had it all memorized. He was even doing high school stats. Yeah, the PR people from down there were
stats.
Yeah. Yeah. He does that at, I guess, every Falcons practice or training camp or whatever. And Andy, Eric's article on the PFW blog was awesome. Give that man credit where credit is due. You're losing the title of Man of the People, and it's becoming Eric's new title.
Eric is never a man of the people. He's as pompous as they come.
You should see how angry Andy got immediately.
Yeah. And
the veins came out.
The
veins came out.
I at least associate with the people.
No,
when we're out there, I associate.
There were six female people you didn't want to associate with.
I associated with them for an hour and a half.
And then you went home. You could have associated them up close and personal in a biblical sense.
You
chose not to.
Wow.
Luber chose to go home and
enjoy Eric's blog post about the
best ever,
the night,
best thing
the
he's
night
ever written.
Town.
Blows away any feature he's ever written. Didn't even have a one line lead. Maybe it did. I didn't really read that closely.
No, it didn't. Thanks again,
Fred. That's
why
Eric was good. Wasn't formulaic like the rest of your writing.
And drink another Diet Pepsi.
There goes another vein.
Drink another Diet Pepsi with your 10-course meal.
He's had at least three.
Well, man, it's really getting uncomfortable.
That's my fault. I should have brought
really,
down that.
He's really getting uncomfortable with his attacks.
This is
on
my
Paul.
Third Diet Pepsi. You are correct.
They are small, though, in Paul's defense.
That's what she said. Didn't she?
They're short.
You wouldn't know. You went home with a bunch of men. You would have been so lucky for her to say, smaller than I expected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Means your pants were off.
All right,
I could always eat your salad.
Maybe they would have eaten your salad.
We're going to take one more quick break, and we'll get more of your emails and phone calls on the other side of this break.
PFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna. So this cafeteria turns into a hotel, and now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti, and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
That part gets me every time, the ending to that story.
I guess when he calls you an a-hole. Ass or the
See, no, I think...
I'm not good at bleeping out stuff, you know this.
I think on TV they bleep out the hole and leave the ass.
They always do, and I think it's proper to do what we did.
Yeah, because hole is an okay word.
Right.
Ass is a bad word.
But I think bleep hole is better than... You can get away with saying ass pretty much everywhere.
And you can get away with hole.
Right.
Everywhere.
But you
I can go to my kid's school and say, hole.
But you can't get away with having them next to each other, so you can take your pick. Either bleep out the...
On TV, most places take the hole out.
I understand that that's the theory that they go by, but don't you think it should be the other way around?
It probably should be the other way around.
Yeah, bleep the ass.
It should be bleep hole and not ass bleep.
Right. Or bleep the whole word.
Right.
Why do you need to put either? You don't bleep Do you bleep half of the other word? F-U...
Wrong guy to ask, Andy, remember?
Yeah, that's right. This guy just lets everything
profanities
go.
In front of 10,000 screaming fans at training camp.
It's fine.
Yeah, they'll listen to him. Yeah,
wasn't
fine.
My fault.
He's a very subtle.
He'll only be here for 11 months anyway, so don't worry about it.
No, his goal is to make sure that Andy's wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said that yesterday.
He'd rather be right
than
happy,
have a job.
Than have a good job he likes and he's moving towards a career.
Well, I only have like 10 months left, according to Andy, so even if that.
Yeah,
so.
Not to live, just to work.
Well, if he keeps working with you, it might be 10 months
he'll
to live.
He'll be fine. You're still here.
Yeah, but that's different. We got some good listener on listener crime.
You have no place else to go?
We got some good
He's irreplaceable.
What do you got?
Who?
Eric.
Sam in Chicago.
How many conversations are we going to have?
One. Now shut up. Can you mitigate Brad's calls? They seem to disrupt the live stream. It's breaking in and out. Perhaps just have talk for half of the show Brad on once or twice a year. And now it makes sense why Brad doesn't have a TV. It would disrupt his own airtime.
Ooh. Wow.
Sam.
Wouldn't be able to hear himself speak, right?
Wow. And it continues. Travis in Goffstown. Hello, PFW. Goffstown, New Hampshire. I'd like to ask you, please, not to take any calls from listeners anymore. They are a complete buzzkill for your show. After finally getting rid of Craig from South Carolina, we're now haunted by Mike from Puerto Rico, who is the worst caller I have ever heard. And that's saying a lot. Mike, if you're listening to this, don't call in. You stink.
Well, he'll hear this in like a month or so when he actually catches
up. We should
up
come him. Up with
and
like,
he'll blame me.
Right.
We should come up with like caller rankings and then have like a cutoff. Anybody below like number like three.
Oh, like rank the roster.
Yeah,
rank
but
the
you can move it, right?
Yeah,
sure.
So like in Europe, when the soccer teams get bumped down, they can come back.
So like if you're below like caller three or five, you're limited to so many calls per week or per month or whatever.
That's an idea. He has the suggestion from Travis. Fred, if you guys don't take his calls, this is Mike in Puerto Rico, if you don't take his calls for at least a month, I will buy you lunch.
I think that's worth it.
Sorry, Mike, you're out.
Yep.
See ya.
Thank God.
Davios?
Thank God for the fast-forward button on my iPod. As soon as Fred announces that Mike is on the phone, I fast-forward 10 minutes, which is his average phone call duration. You guys don't need these clowns calling in. Kevin and Redding, play roster roulette with your poker buddies all you want, but don't call in and waste our time with what... that call you had on Tuesday. I beg you. Where do you people come from? Do you have jobs?
Where do you
lives,
people come from?
Brains.
Mother's basements.
If you must call, give a quick opinion or question on something and get off. Your windbag rants and analysis are
general.
Too much to take. Other than that, you have a great show. Don't change a thing.
He does have a point, though. We tend to let the callers ramble on for a little bit too long.
No, we don't. We often do this or this.
This is radio.
Time.
I don't know what you're doing.
I don't see
that. Supposed to know what we're doing.
We don't have the ability to end the call.
We can just tell you.
That's true.
I'm just
that
speaking
is part
for
of the
we.
Problem,
if we give you the pot down signal.
Okay. To give it nice and clear, you know.
Listen, he's... Who peed in your Cheerios today? You are wound up something unbelievable today. You're yelling at me earlier. Now you're yelling at him.
I didn't yell at you earlier.
You're snapping at Andy.
I may have snapped at Andy, but I
you
don't
yelled
yell
at me earlier,
you yelled
too.
At Paul.
You did. You chastised me.
Paul. That break was a breakup.
A little bit sassy.
Which one? What are you talking about?
When I said,
yet again, you
yet
ask
again,
him a question,
you ask
you don't
him a question, you don't get an answer.
Yeah.
All right, whatever, sure, whatever. And you turned away from whatever, sure.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
You did. You took your ball and went home.
All right, Paul. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't need the apology. I just want to know
why
you're on edge.
Now he doesn't want the apology.
Read an email.
You're on edge. I want to know what's the matter.
I resign.
Were you back to the Atlanta game for a second?
Back to the 80s Friday night.
You know, we had been sort of optimistic about Zoltan Mesko's punting from spring practice into the summer.
I don't know what you're looking for. He had a 44.5-yard
Well,
net.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, because we have somebody who writes in without saying who they are or where they're from, and they say,
what a weenie.
How could the booth, I guess he's meant to say, not even comment on the missile Zoltan is sending? Another 50-plus net punt. Dude is a game changer. He will win two games for the Pats this year. This is the rookie punter, mind you, that he's talking about.
You should know I got a little wiener.
I just think...
I'm more worried about him losing games.
Count me in the completely disinterested in this argument totally, because I've been watching football my whole life, and I've seen one game that was affected by a punter, and that was the playoff game that the Chargers beat the Colts a couple years ago when Mike Seifert knocked about six punts out inside the five-yard line. Other than that, it's totally irrelevant. As long as the guy goes out there and actually kicks the ball, you'll be all right. Unless he swings and misses like Sean Landetta did in the playoffs that year. Yeah. So maybe let me amend that. That's two games I saw affected by punting. I don't want him to shank him, but I don't.
What about when he's backed up and it's an Achilles?
Can it possibly be any worse than it's been the last several years? And it hasn't cost him games
several
years.
I don't think so.
But they're not as good. My theory is, I think they're going to be in some potential shootouts type games where a punt could matter, where a score, a field position.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to have to punt all that often either.
I don't either, but...
I don't. I really don't think they're going to have to punt that much.
I'm mildly concerned.
And he wasn't really launching missiles. He had a couple of...
He had two terrible
inside
punts
the 20s
early.
That were only
36,
yards.
34 yards, something like that.
He had one pretty...
And those are fine if you're inside the 10, but not when you're at 16, 19.
18.
Right. When you're just barely in the red zone, it's not really the same kind of... You know, it doesn't... It looks good on the stat sheet, but it's not.
But
really
he made
as
good
effective.
Strides from the spring. Maybe he'll make some more good strides in the next
month. I don't worry too much about him. Although I will agree with Eric and Andy, who have been on this from the start. He struggles with his consistency. There's no doubt about it. From watching him every day,
But you're right. They were 33rd last year.
They can't get any worse, and it's not
33rd.
Costing them games.
They really
32.
Were. They were 33rd.
They were 33rd out of 32.
I know. Sad.
Is that an Andyism?
I think it means one team had two punters.
How do you feel about the backup quarterback situation? Having now
kind of similar to my punting situation.
Having now seen Brian Hoyer take a couple of games of the majority of the snaps.
He's okay. I don't feel great about it.
I think he's a guy that's probably going to go into the game and do the right things. He's probably not going to be real reckless with the football.
That was a nice throw to Gronkowski. That
he's
was
not,
him, right?
He's not going to he's not going to make a ton of plays for
it's
you.
A nice throw.
And I don't think he'll make a ton of mistakes for you. I think it's what you want in a backup quarterback. I think he's safe.
We're watching on NFL Network. They're replaying the Vikings 49ers game from a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
And Sam from New Zealand. Different Sam. All the way down there, the farthest point away from us. Right? Or was that Tasmania?
I think that was Tasmania.
Right. Yeah,
where,
Tasmania.
William Roeder's wife's from.
That's right.
Right.
Sam from New Zealand brings up in the subject line Sage Rosenfels.
Sage.
Hey, guys, with Favre returning for reals, probably this time, rumor has it, and by rumor I mean NFL Network Total Access, that the Vikings might consider trading Sage Rosenfels. Andy wants to run Hoyer and Robinson out of town, so is there any demand for an accurate veteran backup QB like Rosenfels. What would we be willing to give up for him, and what would he be worth? I'm not sure about the Vikings O-line situation, but I do know that Favre was getting pummeled in the NFC Championship game. Would the Vikings be a good team to shuffle Mankins off to? I know they have Steve Hutchinson, who I've heard is pretty good. But still, is there any chance? Keep up the good work. Loved reading the blog during training camp and listening to the podcasts. And I'm excited for the season. That's Sam in New Zealand.
Well, I'm not sure that there's a friendly relationship between Bill Belichick and Brad Childress based
after
on that
whole Garrett Mills
situation and that guy David Heron. So yeah. I'm not sure they are friendly trading partners.
But if it were good business sense, would they put that aside to...
Yes, I'm sure they would. But
I'm just
that's
not
kind
sure.
of a major deal.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're going to trade Mankins and Sage Rosenfeld, it's not like an easy little seventh-round pick for Hideki Okajima.
Yeah, they're not going to... I don't think they're going to be trading Steve Hutchinson for his part of that either. You know
oh,
I mean?
He thought the Hutchinson was going to be part of it? Oh.
No, I think he was saying, would they trade for Mankins because they already have a guard who's good like Steve Hutchinson.
And
well, we're certainly not going to be trading Logan Mankins for
I think that's
Sage
what he was
Rosenfels.
Well, I think that's what he was kind of...
Oh, no.
Oh, well, no sense of even giving it any more concern. I thought that it was a big trade involving Steve Hutchinson and Logan Mankins, and maybe we could get Sage Rosenfels tossed in. He's a third-string quarterback.
I think he was...
We're not trading an all-pro guard for a third-string quarterback.
But would you want to trade for... doesn't have to be Sage Rosenfels.
No,
but
I
somebody
wouldn't.
Of that caliber.
Yeah, no.
A backup quarterback?
Yeah.
No,
I need a backup quarterback who knows my system.
Exactly.
That's why I'm comfortable.
What the bleep is that?
Now he's sitting in the Lilliputian's chair.
Good, Paul.
I just feel like Brian Hoyer, I don't think is the most gifted guy I've ever seen, but I think his strength is Brady's strength. I think he knows the offense pretty well. I think he doesn't make mistakes, and he's safe. And I think, like Andy thinks, you're dead if he has to play. I mean, it's just basically the way it is.
Are you dead if anybody other than Brady has to play?
Yes.
More or less.
Would there be any backup quarterback that you think would be competitive enough to keep this team in the hunt?
With this schedule?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nobody? Nobody in the league that could be serviceable enough?
I mean, are you saying, like, in general, like, backup quarterback? Like, you're not saying, like, if Peyton Manning were here?
No. I mean... A veteran serviceable backup who has been a backup, but would be good enough.
But knows the system. We're saying operates under the premise that he knows the system. Yeah, there might be a guy or two there's guys that are better than Brian Hoyer in that regard. But the knowledge that I think and the experience that Hoyer now has in the system is like Castle was the better option a few years ago.
So it outweighs
Now, I don't think Castle would be going 11-5 with this team.
Because of the schedule or because of the team as it's constituted?
Both. I mean, he inherited a team that was 16-0 the year before, playing the worst schedule ever, and they went 11-5. I don't think they would do the same thing this year in the same circumstance. It's just my opinion. There's no way of knowing that. But, yeah, no, I don't. It's backup quarterback has never been one of those things that gets me all hot and bothered.
Right.
I leave that for Felger. Fact, not opinion.
He likes backup quarterbacks?
Oh, he thinks that's the key to success.
Really?
Fact. Really? That's the way it should look.
It's pretty good. He does a very good Felger.
He's mocking him.
Before the
I
break,
mock because I love.
Before the break,
the 800
we were talking
number,
about.
I forgot it. I'm sorry.
the so-called name player that Fred said was cut by the Broncos, Todd from Nova Scotia says it's Akin Adell, that's kind of a name player.
Only because of his name.
Exactly. He's a name. That's a very good Andyism right there. He is kind of a name player because of his name.
Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right.
Would you have any idea who that was if it was Joe Smith?
No. I didn't realize how many teams he played for, though. Jaguars, Cowboys,
that's
Dolphins.
That's my point.
Broncos. He's played for four different teams already. Wow.
He's clearly a system guy.
And
that
he does have a
here.
Brother.
Yeah, but he's
right,
clearly Remy. He could play in the 3-4. I mean, he went to Dallas, went to Miami. They brought him there. Didn't they trade for him, or they wanted him somehow? I forgot exactly how that worked.
He was
in Denver.
Yeah, he was reasonably productive, I think, in Dallas 1 year.
Yeah.
Adell. Look, they might pick him up because that's exactly Fred Kirsch-like luck.
Right.
He doesn't even know the guy's name, doesn't know anything about him, just that he had heard the name before. That's the guy that the Patriots will go and pick up now, just because of that.
And
then he'll bust out chops about it.
There's a Mike Florio story that Todd posts in here in the email, and the quote from Adell smacks of Bill Belichick because of, obviously, the head coach of the Broncos.
Oh.
No, he says, this is the first time this has happened to me like this, but I have to stay encouraged. They told me they let me go early out of respect so other teams could have more time to get at me. Well, who does that sound like?
And this is also a team that is in dire need of players at that position, no?
And they certainly lost the top of the position.
And then they had Jarvis Moss get banged up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not so sure how much out of respect there was there, but...
How much did we talk early on about Ty Warren?
Today, not at all.
And his injury and all that. Because Bill and Malden wants to bring up the subject. Says, hey, guys, I'm actually happy now that Ty Warren is injured. Want to know why? Because you guys spent more time talking about the defensive line on Tuesday than outside linebacker for the first time in the last 2 years. Thank God for that. I couldn't take another show of what are we going to do with OLB questions and commentary. Do you guys realize that all teams, including the teams in the Super Bowl, have positions of concern or weakness? Your doom and gloom analysis at linebacker was driving me crazy. We get it. The Patriots need more linebackers. Let's move on. Now, you'll probably rant and rave about defensive end for the next month. Let's talk about some more about how Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Gerard Mayo will have great seasons and a little less about Marcus Morrell, Gerard Warren.
I only agree with two of those, so I can't talk about the third.
Who are the three guys I zoned
out?
Brady, Moss, and Mayo.
Oh.
You're right on two of the three. I think Brady and Moss are going to have great years. You want me to rip other positions? I'll tell you that the guy you drafted with the 10th pick in the draft is a tackle machine and nothing else. I watched Patrick Willis the other night in this Monday night game. I saw what a playmaking elite first-round pick linebacker is, and Gerard Mayo is not that. Brandon Spikes, the second
again.
Round. Well, the guy doesn't want us to fixate on the actual problems, so I'll start ripping down what you think are strengths of the team, Bill and Malden.
Wow.
Gerard Mayo.
Here he goes talking fast again.
Man of the people.
Right.
Elbow me from Malden when he makes a play. Because that'll be his first. Thank you. No further questions, Bill and Malden. I did not mention outside linebacker once in that rant. Thank you.
Except at the very end.
Just to point it out.
I would add to Andy's impressive rant only in that, you know, when seasons don't...
Where do you come up with these?
He just hits a button and hopes.
When seasons don't end the way we hope, like last year... The season ends. They get blown out at home against Baltimore. None of us really saw it coming that way. I think everybody thought they could lose, but no one thought they were going to get obliterated like that. Fans immediately want to know, why didn't you know this? Why didn't you guys talk about this stuff? Why didn't you analyze? Why didn't we know that this was a fatal flaw? Well,
I told you when Seymour was traded.
Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. Whatever. You know, no one gets them all right. My point is, we're trying to analyze what the defense is going to look like in 2010. And some of us, I think the three of us included, envision outside linebacker is going to be a problem in this season. If you can't get pressure on the passer ever and you're playing young defensive backs, that might be a problem. So 10 weeks from now, if you're wondering why the outside linebackers aren't producing, don't yell at us for not talking about it because we did. I mean, I don't understand how we're supposed to analyze how we think the team is going to be in the preseason without talking about all the positions.
Right.
All right. Well, enough talk about the outside linebackers, guys, okay? Let's go to El Gideo from Louisiana, his email. I have a question regarding the 3-4 defense. Maybe you guys can help me here. A few listeners have asked already why players like Dane Fletcher and Kerry Guyton can't play on the outside.
Wow.
You guys
not going to make Bill and Malden happy.
You guys usually answer that in the Pat system, these guys aren't big enough to, quote, hold the edge. How is the Pats 3-4 so different from the Steelers 3-4, which seems to have done okay for itself, using 6'2" or less, 250-pound guys on the outside, like James Harrison and Lamar Woodley? Looking at their roster, almost all their guys are that size. What is it that the Steelers do differently that allows them to play smaller players at that spot? I'm not saying the Steelers system is better than the Pats, but I don't understand why it works well for them, but not for somebody else. And it has to do, El Gideo, with just the basic philosophy of the defense. New England's is a read and react, and the Steelers is more of an attacking
defense. Two gap versus one gap, read and react versus...
Responsibilities are different.
I mean, they're looking for guys to just put their head down and get around the corner, get under those big tackles.
Right.
Whereas
attack.
Bill Belichick is looking for guys to hold up against those tackles, set the edge, be able to battle a guy who's probably 6'5" and 330 pounds. And I'm sorry, but Dane Fletcher is not that guy.
Exactly.
You have to have the length, the strength, the athletic ability, the size. It's a combination that very few individuals on this planet possess.
And I would also just add, in Harrison's case specifically,
the Steelers weren't sure about him.
Right.
He was an undrafted guy. Took him several years to sort of find his way in the league, and then he blossomed, what, 4 or 5 years in? At least three years in. He was not an immediate
special
hit.
Teamer, and then
and the reason was they weren't sure that he fit the mold. He was a little on the small side. Now, he's a special player. He totally is, but I do think there's differences in the system. You could argue which one is better, which one you'd rather play. I'd like to see the Patriots be a little bit more attacking at times, as much as the fans do. The fans talk about it all the time. I'm with them. I like trying to force the issue on defense because I think it's so hard to get off the field nowadays. Teams are so good. I think I made a comment to you the other night. The first series that Atlanta had the ball, it was like a 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4, and Matt Ryan just had an easy little flip to the tight end, did like 3 yards, quick out, and I looked at Andy. I said, that play's impossible to stop. And it is. They're so good at it now. The offenses are so well-timed with all the different personnel groups. You really have to do something to disrupt timing and get teams in bad situations. Otherwise, you're playing at such a disadvantage. And listen, I've seen this defense work to perfection under Belichick and before with the Giants as well. So I know it's not the scheme. It's the players. But there are times where I'd like to see them be a little bit more aggressive and, you know, maybe breaking out of the mold of having to have a 6'4 guy who runs a 4'6 40 on the outside and does all the things that Andy just talked about. Maybe that's one of the things you could get out of that box. And if you find an athlete that's good enough,
I'd like to get into that box.
We have College Football Live hosted by Aaron Andrews on one of the television screens right now.
My God.
I know it's radio, but I just did the Fred Kirsch look into the camera because of Andy. She's hot. So hot.
That's a hot box.
Yeah!
All right, so we've got camp is officially, well, not really officially, wrapped up, but the public no longer invited to practices. We have 2 preseason games down. We've got the 3rd one coming up on Thursday where we're pretty much going to see who we're going to see in week 1 on the field for most of the game.
Sure.
Compared to the beginning of camp when we had several questions, has there been any area of the roster that you guys have either feel better about, worse about, or still have concerns about?
Are we allowed to talk about outside linebacker? Because I feel worse and still have concerns.
I feel better about the secondary in general. Because I think McCourty is a better player than I was anticipating him being this quickly.
Yep.
Now, it's just preseason, but right now, based on 2 games, I feel a little better about the secondary. I also think they might have some depth there that I wasn't anticipating.
Terrence Wheatley?
Yeah.
Maybe?
With some of those guys.
Kyle Arrington has been impressive.
Yep.
Despite the fact that all we do is beat up on the fatal flaw of the team.
Well, I picked a positive.
I actually feel better about every position except for defensive end and outside linebacker. I think the secondary is competitive with young guys. I don't know if they'll be good. The offensive line, I've seen Dan Conley play at what I consider an NFL level. I don't know
he's done well, but I think he can fit in
as part of a unit, you know, and a decent offensive line.
And the things that he's asked to do as a guard, namely like pulling, getting in space, making blocks, we've seen him do that twice effectively.
I feel better about the tight ends because while I thought they were going to be good complementary pieces, I've now seen it that they can. You know, assuming they stay healthy, but that's every position. I've seen Wes Welker on the field. I've seen Fred Taylor look like he's got a little jump in his step. I literally feel better about everything except D-line because you lost Ty Warren, a guy who started for you for the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. And outside linebacker, I can't say it, but I still feel is a very, very, very
big You can say whatever you want.
I feel even worse about that than Jermaine Cunningham was the key to this team's season. Jermaine Cunningham has disappeared and hasn't played a preseason game.
Yep.
I am now giving up hope that he's going to be a day one impact player. Maybe he'll be a day, you know, 35 impact
Maybe
player
he can
5
be like
weeks
Merriweather
in,
and by the end of the season he can be part of the
He's not
defense.
Going to be what I was hoping he could be against the Bengals.
I can't even concentrate when she's on the screen.
I can't.
At some sleazy hotel,
And
no
they
doubt.
Have, like, a thing. You can't even see her things. They got, like, Todd Blackledge's name and stats below.
And Todd Blackledge has a good job, too.
You know, does it involve being with her?
Well, it involves eating.
Her?
Oh, my God. Now, see, here's where you drop
I could always eat your salad.
There you go. Good job, Kevin.
Okay,
good
read
job.
Me Thank you, Eric.
Paul's uncomfortable. Oh, my God.
No, Paul's unemployed.
At this point, which
I resign.
Which lower end of the roster guys do you think have the best chance of making 53 man?
What?
the guys who are, the newcomers, rookies, undrafted players, which of those new guys has, do you think, the best chance of making the 53 man? I have a name in mind.
Okay, tell us yours.
You
maybe that'll give us time.
Dedrick or Diedrich, whatever you pronounce his name. Brandon Dedrick.
That's not a bad one. I think that's a pretty good guess.
I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking for. I have to be honest with you.
Every year, Bill has at least one surprise undrafted rookie guy who makes the team.
Okay, so undrafted rookie.
And I'm going to go with Sergio Brown, and I'll tell you why. Because since day one of camp, I've seen him on the first kickoff team. And usually the guys who are on that team are going to be on that team throughout preseason, are going to be there week one. So I think
he's a possibility.
And I think he's done.
I think he's probably had the best camp out of the undrafted guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think he also has had a pretty decent showing as a defender. Even though it's only been
caused that interception the first week. He's been flying around, hitting people, getting his hand on some balls.
Right. And the other guys,
a bad guess.
The other guys on that kickoff team, you've got Merriweather, McGowan, Jimmy, I think, has been on kickoff.
Jimmy, yeah.
Well, I can Ninkovich, give you the, on
Pierre Woods, Eric Alexander. Those kind
of
guys have pretty much
balls.
Been staples of this team the last few years.
Thursday night, I'll give you the opening kickoff in no particular order. I just wrote down the numbers. Merriweather, Aiken, Ninkovich, McGowan, Arrington, Alexander, McCourty, Sanders, Serge, and Pierre Woods, along with Gostkowski, obviously.
And those have pretty much consistently been the guys at that spot.
A lot of undrafted free agent special teamers.
Yeah. Aside of Arrington, I would say every guy, the other nine guys that I just mentioned there, would be, I think, fairly big surprises to not be part of the team.
Sure.
Maybe Alexander. I think Alexander was one of those guys too. So most of those guys that you rattled off are pretty much roster locks.
Mm-hmm. And I say that too because people have been questioning whether Sam Aiken's going to make this team. I think people are forgetting he was a captain last year.
He's on the Big Four. He's a Big Four guy.
And right. Of said kickoff team, he stands in front and is the leader. I mean, he fell into that Larry Izzo role of, secondary kind of coordinator.
I would put that in a very surprising cut category if Sam Aiken were not to be.
I've read a lot of roster projections that don't have him on the roster.
A lot of them.
I know, and I think it's
unwise. You have to know every year with Belichick.
Now, to be fair, the coverage teams weren't that good last year.
No, they weren't, but you have to know there's going to be at least two or three, maybe four guys. That's their role. It's just going to be special teams. Sam Aiken is the fifth or sixth receiver, but he's a big four guy, as Scott O'Brien says. He's on the kickoff, kick return, punt return, and punting teams.
So I think Serge has a pretty good shot of making the team because it's been
Paul,
from day
did you have
one.
Him on your roster?
It's been from day one.
Serge? No, I had him on the practice squad.
Doesn't count. Could make the team?
I said no. You asked me a question. I said no.
You're very snippy today. I see why you got into a fight with him, Eric.
All right, a little bit more making fun of Eric emails here. David from Des Moines, Iowa. Guys,
Des Moines.
Des Moines. Hey, guys, as always, you guys are doing amazing work. So I was watching Patriots Today or something, and Eric was on with B-Lo. Wow, Eric, you either need to get a milk crate to stand on or tell B-Lo to just get on his knees.
Oh! His name is
B-Lo.
He won't fight with you over it, I'm sure. The intimidating little man that you are, that you appear to be on TV. I'm just playing. All right, question.
You're not that short. I mean, you're short, but
Boo Boo Tinkums.
Paul and I are like an inch taller than you.
I don't make fun of you for being short. I'm short.
And Bilo's relatively tall, right?
Bilo's 6'2".
That's tall. Yep.
Bilo's a big guy. He's like
tall.
My height.
You're 6'2"?
Yeah.
Very Eric-like there.
Yeah. He's very smart.
Had to inject himself.
He's almost 6'3".
All right. Serious question. With Hernandez and G-Force on the team, and their so far impressive showing, could they be the added dynamic that makes our team more dangerous than, or at least as dangerous as, what the offense was back in 2007, even without a reliable third receiver? Or is the third receiver still a component that is really needed?
I mean, sure, theoretically they could, but I still think that was a special year.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think this offense is going to be good. Probably better than last year.
Last year or
probably
the year
among the handful of best in the game this season. I think they're going to be very good.
I think they'll be very good.
But that one was historic.
Yeah,
I think they'll be very good, and I think Aaron Hernandez, when all is said and done, is going to emerge as that third receiver.
Sure.
I think he will be. And they don't really use him as a tight end all the time. He's used as a receiver a lot.
Yep. He's a slot receiver is what he is.
That's what he is. He's the third receiver. That's why I think he's going to catch a ton of passes. And I agree with Andy. 2007, that's why it's a record. Yeah. It's a special
why
season.
Why is a record?
No, I mean, look at how many different records they set that year.
A lot.
Well, they have all these components, they're going to do it again. Don't forget, even that season, you know, about halfway through, team started defending it a little bit differently. Yeah. And now that's the way that team is defended. That's the way the offense is defended a little bit. So it's still very productive because they're so good. But not 50 touchdowns, but for the quarterback, 23 for the wideout, 8, by the way, for Wes Welker that year, more than he probably had in his career combined. That's special production. I don't think you can just expect that going into a season. I think they'll be very good offensively, though.
But if it does, then REMAX, you can win a house if they break that touchdown record of 76.
Yeah, if they score more touchdowns than they did in 07.
$500,000 towards a house.
Yeah, and you should be able to get a house.
Oh, in this market, guys. I would think.
Yeah, you better hope. You don't need to.
I could sell my house if I won that.
Probably not that fast in this market.
Yeah, but I would.
You don't really need to.
I would take less, though.
Well, that's true.
David ends with, also, why is everyone so over the top with Welker getting hit when Welker's knee occurred by his foot planting and then his knee giving out? It had nothing to do with his getting hit.
That's a nice little player.
It's still a weakened joint. It's a point of weakness. And you need to find out what it can take from a hit. Well, I don't even know if people are targeting it.
No, but if it gets hit.
You're on the football field. Your knees get hit.
You know, one of those times where he's sort of running toward the sideline trying to cut outside, and maybe safety dives at his knee. Yeah, helmet to knee.
Any million of a possibility.
Helmet to knee is going to be a concern to me.
Right. He has a weakened piece of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Although, theoretically, they tell you it's stronger when they're done with the surgery. But
maybe not right now.
It's theoretical.
Which is why he has the brace on in the first place, which he's dying to get rid of.
Knee, not Ron.
Yeah, that's
fact, not opinion.
I found that a little interesting that he talked about the brace
so openly that he doesn't like
it, and it
clearly limits him.
Yeah.
Doing the best I can with it or whatever, it's doing its job.
I was surprised to hear him say that.
I was actually surprised at two things coming out of the game and his honesty. One, that he wasn't ready to just say knee injury is in the past, like Brady seemed to want to do so quickly last year.
Yeah.
And two, that he admitted that the brace, he doesn't like it, he wants to get rid of it, but it's a necessary evil at this point. I was a little surprised how open he was with it, and calling it a milestone moment. I thought that he was very open and honest and interesting.
And that's a good point, because do you think sometimes players worry too much about saying what they think is the right thing to say as opposed to just saying what they feel?
Sometimes, yes.
So it's for him better to just come out and say how he really feels.
Sure.
Than to have to worry about, okay, now I got to put my media face on and say what they expect me to say. And just, yeah, it's there. I wish it wasn't there.
Anyway, and
whatever.
He's certainly talking about himself. So it's not like he can get in trouble, you know, all the things Belichick tells the players not to talk about, contracts, other people's performance,
other players,
anything.
Yeah.
It's him. I know it's an injury, but it's all him. It's just him. It's me, me, me. So it's the truth. What he feels is what he feels.
Yeah, I just I had that.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. It's
refreshing.
It was, that's the right word for it. It was refreshingly honest, I thought.
I agree.
Right. Paul has nothing to add.
No, nothing.
It's
to
like
add.
A
podcast.
Paul's too busy looking at the TV.
Is Aaron Andrews on again?
She was. Just yeah, moment.
That was Gene Chizik. Chizik?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's talking to him, so.
I'd like to.
No, I wholeheartedly agreed with both of you. Should I just say?
I was gonna say.
Repeat the whole thing and say,
that's what
yeah.
you usually do, isn't it?
Yeah, then I'd be Lou Maloney.
Paul just taking shots from afar now that he's out of the mix.
That's a good one.
Oh, man.
Oh, hey, now.
I could just wait till what Glenn says and say the same thing.
Maybe you'd still be on if you did that.
This is true.
According to reports, on Thursday.
You're making my point.
Your next favorite boyfriend in the league.
The Sam Chise.
Sam Chise. Sam Bradford is going to start on Thursday.
That's correct.
You excited?
I am.
See the future of the National Football League at quarterback position?
We started the show, Fred brought him up, and I'm a little down on him because of his first performance where he had a little jittery Ness.
Well, it was his first performance.
And you know, he's not special.
Not special, says Andy.
Oh,
not special.
Not special.
He's broken.
You've already not specialed your guy who you said is going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. There's guys that aren't special that are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Donovan McNabb might be one of them.
Yeah.
He could go to the Hall of Fame.
He vomited on a football field. He pooped himself in the biggest moment of his life. You reach that pinnacle when it's make or break time. He broke. He didn't make.
So you're down on Sam Bradford?
No, I still like him. I think he's, you know, I think he's a good test as a young quarterback for this team. You know, he's not a veteran, so he'll have his growing pains. But I think he's an accurate, timely passer, which is something that challenges defensive backfields, young ones. I want to get, you brought about wanting to be a little more aggressive. You'd like to see him, you mean, not go Steelers style.
No.
But we saw yesterday, just the play jumped out in my mind where first, the offense spread him out, went five wide, and Darius Butler blitzed off the edge, and no one decided to cover him. You know, I don't know the exact safety matchups, but no one covered, I forgot the receiver.
I think it was Welker.
And they just dumped it off, and Welker went down the field for, you know, could have walked into the end zone for a long touchdown. That's the risk.
That there was a coverage breakdown, Eric.
That's the risk, you know, like the Super Bowl. You know, you get risky, and, you know, sometimes you get embarrassed.
Speaking of coverage breakdowns.
We've done a fine job in camp, I thought.
Yes, we certainly have. But Mark from Oxford writes in.
Is this the guy that was in studio with us?
No, that's not. What does Andy think about Mike Reese's podcast on ESPN? Speculating that Andy's boy James Sanders may be in for the cut this year.
I think it's garbage.
He's a guy.
All I know is the first defense I've seen out here all week, base defense, has had James Sanders in it. Now, it wasn't earlier in camp always.
No.
But I think he's getting a lot of run. I personally believe if someone were to get cut, it could be Brandon McGowan. I think he's the fourth.
He hasn't
safety.
Had a great camp.
I think Jimmy's the third.
He has not had a great camp.
I think Merriweather and Chung are the one and the two.
If you're going on reps, that is absolutely the case. Sanders is more involved than McGowan. But, you know, I don't know if that's what it's going to all be about. I mean, McGowan makes less money. So
how much
maybe
less?
That makes him an attractive.
What does he make?
Well, Sanders makes good money.
I know.
Makes like $4 million, doesn't he?
I'd look it up if I had the internet.
2.3?
I believe.
Well, McGowan can't be making...
Is he lying to me about his contract?
McGowan can't be making more than $1 million.
Okay, I don't know.
Can he?
I would be surprised if it's that much.
I would be, too, since he was a street free agent.
I think Sanders is by far and away the better player. I think McGowan will flash every once in a while and make one of those plays.
In London, in the locker room? Not that kind of flash.
It really is amazing how many different words you can do that for. I think that he'll make some plays here or there, but I think he'll be out of position way more often than James Sanders.
And
like Thursday night, by the way, when he knocked Terrence Wheatley
that
out of the way. It was a terrible play.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And the other thing is, are we totally just going to disregard the fact that the poop was hitting the fan and everybody talks about he was a calming presence, and now you have even more young players that are going to play in the secondary?
Sanders, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he seems to have some value there. I think, you know, I'm not set to say Merriweather and Chung are ready to make all the right calls. Yeah. I know I go overboard with my lust for James Sanders, but I still think he's one of the best 53 players on this team. I really do.
And that's
and another thing. He's a core special teamer. Mm-hmm. He's one of those rare, you know, he's kind of now going to just core special teamer, but he was a starter and a core special teamer, that hole in one. Now maybe he's valuable enough as a core special teamer, as a solid tackler.
Right.
And by the way, he's borderline starter at safety.
It's right. Also one of the positions, one of the few positions in my
opinion. If you have Sergio Brown on the roster, then James Sanders sure as hell better be on the roster.
Because it'll
come down to money if he's not on the roster,
listen,
and that's a shame.
I think he needs to be on the roster, but it's one of the few positions that they can honestly say they have a good amount of depth at.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of spots they can say that at.
Now, if he's traded, that's one thing. If you can get somebody to take him off your hands and, you know, your depth,
prove something else.
Some outside linebacker, they got a sixth outside linebacker that you think can play for
really
you.
I wish you wouldn't talk about that position, Andy.
Oh, that's true. We don't need anything there. We're fine. It's really shored up. Malden.
All right, we get it.
Isn't that where Killer Kowalski school was?
That is correct.
Malden.
Malden's a big, big rival of Everett, too.
More make
we
fun of Eric emails. Doesn't say.
Now we beat him every year.
I figured.
Doesn't say who and doesn't say where. Coward. Not sure if you saw Patriots Today. Thought Brian Lowe was interviewing a famous jockey who showed up to watch the Patriots. Eric looks like he could be on someone's lawn.
Didn't say and didn't say where.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just assumed they were all from the same person. They're not.
Does it say, like, from Brian Lowe at Patriots.com or something?
No, Fred
it's just some weird email, weird random email.
Weird random.
weird random
and wacky wuff.
This Twecta is starting to get on my
Ed from BK.
British Columbia? No.
Idiot.
Maybe he's from Burger King. Maybe he's got his iPhone.
Maybe
on.
He is the king.
Oh, maybe he is, yeah. Good point. Says, the whole Fred Kirsch bit was hilarious. He's referring to last week when Fred called in.
Unfortunately, it wasn't a bit.
It wasn't a bit. But he says, sometimes I think y'all have scripts and just improvise well.
We never have
scripted
or discussed anything. Well, Fred sometimes plans his jokes in front of the mirror at home. But other than that, we are totally unscripted.
He doesn't plan it with us. Now he has a serious question, which I don't understand. Is Julian Edelman that good or not? Because y'all give him no credit.
A lot of y'alls today.
We give Julian Edelman a hell of a lot of credit, I would think.
Yeah, when do we not give him credit?
So I don't know what
our one question
Ed's
is whether
to.
He can stay healthy, durability.
Sure.
I think he'll be productive if he can play every game.
Yeah.
I think we've been outspoken in our...
I love dicks as well.
In our admiration for how much progress he's made from being
how
a,
quick?
Running, a running college quarterback... To an NFL wide receiver,
most remarkable of
kick
my career here.
Punt return,
without
he
bar
catches
none.
The ball very well, and he's probably even better after the catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know.
Now Fred won. No.
What
didn't he cut ties with him at some point? He loved him and then didn't like him again. Or is that Welker?
Well, Welker. I mean, what did he have? 4 touchdowns.
That's true. I thought he did it with Edelman too.
Okay.
Okay. Got an email.
Yeah,
a lot of emails. Got to read them.
I do. Alex. In London. A lot of Alex's, too, that have been writing in lately.
In New Mexico?
No, London.
Ken.
What? where did New Mexico come from?
I won't play the Mexican dance this time.
Alex in Georgia. Alex in Georgia. Alex in Edmonton. Now Alex in London.
The other guy in British Columbia.
BK. K.
The Burger King.
Burger King, right.
Yes, we've been through this.
Yeah.
I actually have something to wake Paul up, though. I didn't realize we had this, but here you go, Paul.
Thanks.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Yeah! Yeah, get cue up the Howard Dean scream.
No. Joe Namath.
Oh, that was happy. Namath?
When he does the...
When he does the, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the Howard Dean scream.
Yeah, when he says the second time, I want to kiss you, and he's like, yeah! Of course, we've overloaded the system over there.
And I can hear the phone.
Yeah.
Turn your mic off.
All right, this is Alex... That was Joe Namath? Yeah.
I think that one might have been Howard Dean.
I was going to say. All right, Alex in London, finally. Thanks for all the updates throughout camp. As I've said a few times in mailbag questions and comments in the blog, you make my day being able to follow the Pats from London. I know you guys always enjoy or at least mock the what-if trade options people propose.
Or at least mock.
Yeah.
It's well put, though. We enjoy them and we like to mock them.
We do enjoy mocking them. So I thought of one that might tickle your fancy. Jason LaConfora at NFL.com said in a recent article that the Ravens are looking for a viable third corner and might be willing to trade Willis McGahee to get him. What do you guys think about trading Darius Butler for McGahee?
I was thinking Wheatley or Wilhite when you brought up the theory.
I believe
they're cousins.
Who?
Butler and McGahee.
I don't want...
I did read that.
I don't want Willis McGahee.
I don't either.
I'll tell you who I want.
No more tread on the tires.
We have 4 of them.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want another one.
I don't want another committee back.
And it also doesn't help long term. Even if he were the same guy with a longer future than maybe some of the guys here, he's not. He's not a long term option, and he's the same as the other guys.
And there's also no possible way they would trade Butler for that.
Butler's one of your top 3 corners right now.
Sure.
It'll be Wheatley or
Looks
Wilhite.
Like he's one of your top 2.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy
Definitely
who's been there consistently from camp.
Right.
With Bodden, and then
on one side
now
on
it's
left,
with McCourty.
Yeah.
There's a good chance the Ravens would pick up a cornerback after cuts because they need cornerback help. So if one of those guys gets cut, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Ravens sign him.
But I think you're right. They don't.
Yes, Butler and McGahee are cousins.
They have enough of those guys at running back. He would be just another one of those guys.
Well, plus you'd have to probably cut somebody potentially, or maybe cut somebody. Cut Fred Taylor to have McGahee, or cut Sammy Morris to have McGahee.
And Fred Taylor is. he's shown.
He's looked nice.
Can still carry the ball.
And I like Morris's versatility. Paul, not so much.
I really liked how...
I like Morris so much. This is a spot on my team for Sammy Morris. Absolutely.
Sammy Morris. Pull
back, catch the ball,
he's had
run
a good
the ball,
camp.
Tail
I don't
back.
Love him like you.
Return kicks. I mean, I just think he's a football
him.
Player.
He's had a good camp, Sammy.
Summer.
I thought. And I really like, for his age, the way Fred Taylor has looked running the ball. He looks strong. He looks fast. He still can make cuts. He's reading his blocks well.
Still cocky. Taunting a little bit as he enters the end zone.
Oh, that was... I couldn't believe that.
He's still
that.
Got those young dog
really
kind
does.
Of vibe to him.
That atypical of a Patriots team.
Really?
To be like... To be some. Like, I mean, in a preseason game?
They've always had their guys.
Yeah. Deion Branch.
Oh, man.
But in
he
a pre-
had
but that was,
sex
but that was
with
a,
air.
That was against the Colts in a huge game in the regular season. This was a preseason game.
I've seen a lot of those celebration-type things.
I mean, Moss going like this, pointing at his back and doing separation.
You know, not so much in the preseason because, you know, he doesn't really try in the preseason.
David Givens standing and flexing.
But those are big games. I'm talking about in a preseason game.
Okay.
Now in preseason, who does that?
Who does
Ellis
that
Hobbs, I mean, celebrated every play he ever made at any level. I mean, preseason practice walkthrough.
That's true. He would celebrate like that. He would celebrate like that if the quarterback underthrew the receiver and it hit the ground.
I will say this though. Will Hyde was dancing pretty good the other night when he made that meaningless pick.
Yeah. Wow. Meaningless.
Meaningless. Why is it meaningless?
It was meaningless.
Well, it was meaningless.
So meaningful.
Fourth down
throw.
It was like fourth down. Hail Mary.
You could argue that
he shouldn't have caught it.
Meaningful to him though to make the play.
Knock it away. That's the play.
Knock it down.
Merriweather would have.
Not intentionally? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Just so you know, Matt in Brooklyn's going to be happy. He actually, one of his comments was, hopefully Andy's angry on the radio. And that guy got me angry, that Malden guy.
When is he not angry?
Well, I'm often not angry.
No, sometimes you just lose interest, but you're always angry.
I am never angry,
you're
actually.
I'm very
passionate. There's
also,
a difference between passion and anger.
You're also very underrated for zero to hot. You know, people make fun of Paul from going zero to hot.
That's
you're very
true.
Underrated.
I just spend more time at hot than you do, but you do get there quickly.
Oh yeah,
it's your passion.
Your voice rises and the words start going faster.
Passion and anger are different.
I mean that email
from
was a perfect example.
Bill from Malden was the perfect.
He got what
example.
He deserved.
He wrote three sentences. By the middle of the second one, you were in orbit.
He called us out. I gave him what he wanted. Sorry, we point out that there may be weaknesses on this team.
he's still mad about it.
I am. Because some, yeah, I'm going to say it. No, Fred would, but I can't.
Kevin, you don't have access to Mike
Internet.
Vandalism's MP3, right?
No, sir,
no,
I do not.
Can't do that? Okay.
Sorry,
but
Mikey.
But we can try to get this fixed and for Thursday, maybe. Take a look at it.
How do you not have Internet?
It's not my, I mean.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
What do you want? What do you, I mean, I had.
Copy and paste.
Well, chisel that one on his gravestone.
No, what had to happen was
it
we needed
my
to
fault.
Take. Or Chris needed to take the internet from my computer and plug it into the streaming computer so everybody could hear us. That's how it went down, I guess.
So it's a monkey business back there.
Yeah, it's not my business.
Well, you're a monkey, so it is your business.
No,
it's monkey
not.
Business. Eric, we got emails or no?
Yeah, we got a few. A
lot of emails.
Can you read them?
Yeah, Thomas from...
I'm in near the end here. Home
yeah,
stretch.
We're almost there. We got a few more minutes.
Let's power through this.
Thomas from Antigonish, Nova Scotia, Canada. Thanks for fixing the webcast player after my email. Love the show. Actually, a Steeler fan, but no team has a show that's nearly as good as. Whoop! What just happened?
What do you think of Mendenhall?
Hold on. No team has a show that's nearly as good. So I've caught every episode this summer. And he has a little game for us. If you could have one, who would you take?
Aaron Andrews.
I think we can all agree on that one.
No, Brooklyn Decker's in the running. Actually, I would take Brooklyn.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're gonna have a party.
Wow, now as soon as everybody gets off.
If I've already gotten off, I have no interest in the party.
Getting off was the party.
Yes, touche.
Ray Rice or Maurice Jones-Drew?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'm going to take Ray Rice.
Because you like doing this?
But
with your hands
I'm going Maurice Jones-Drew.
That's a really tough one.
They both have big thighs.
I think I'll take Ray Rice, too.
I like the big playability and the receiving ability. I think Jones-Drew is good in those areas, too, and he's the better short yardage guy. That's a tough one.
That's a tough call.
I'll go Jones-Drew.
I'm going to go Ray Rice.
I'll go Ray Rice.
That's really tough.
Antonio Cromartie or Kyle Wilson?
Cromartie.
Well, Cromartie's the proven guy. That's kind of an easy one. Unless Kyle Wilson makes the Pro Bowl at the end of this year.
That was ranting.
Not ranting. I'm just I guess he's
looked good, evidently, according to some of the people.
And
but
he's a good young corner. He's in the same
McCourty.
Thing as McCourty.
He's on McCourty.
He's McCourty, right.
Those guys were neck and neck by virtually all accounts.
This is going to be a tough one, too, I think.
Nope.
Big Ben or Philip Rivers?
That's a tough one, Eric. I'm going to give it to you. Rivers.
I think I would take Rivers.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to take Big Ben. I'm going to go against the grain here with you guys.
I like Big Ben a lot, but
I think I like
Roethlisberger's. As much as he's a crybaby.
They're both idiots.
I like
that's accurate.
I like the toughness.
Idiots.
So they're both idiots.
Well, who isn't?
Me.
I, for one.
Oh, for God's sake. Can we turn his mic off?
I wish we knew how. I wish he knew
I can turn your mic off.
We're now ranking them on the idiocy? I mean, who do you think is a better player?
As much as I don't like his crybaby attitude, I think Philip Rivers, I liked the toughness he showed me in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago, playing on the one leg.
He has everything, except he never finishes. He never closes.
That's what I'm giving him. That's,
and Roethlisberger
that's
has
what
closed.
I'm giving Roethlisberger. He's done it in the big games. I also like his ability to keep plays alive.
Molest women?
Can you stop? Can you not?
Can't finish? I agree with you. There's no question.
His ability to keep plays alive a little bit better. He's bigger. He's stronger in the pocket.
Rivers
he gets sacked
good,
too much and you know and all that stuff. I love Rivers. You know that. I think
he's going to be one of those guys that if he ever wins the Super Bowl,
he's
he
gonna
gets
get
like
vaulted.
Catapulted.
It's like it just happened to Drew Brees.
Right. Like he's. Remember when last year I had to do like the must stop thing we do in the paper and I was. He is so consistently good. Like, I want to say he's never had more than two interceptions in a game.
And they don't
He doesn't lay eggs. He always wins. They've been winning since he got there. I'm not saying it's just him, but...
Yeah. In 06, it may have been because of everybody around him.
He's never had a three-pick game?
I don't believe he's ever had a three-pick game.
In 06, when he had
everybody...
Tom Brady's
had four-pick games out the wazoo.
Well, yeah. You know, he says one a year.
That was his first year, right? 06, not his rookie year, but his first year playing.
Yes. Six, seven,
eight, and he had LT in his, you know, his absolute peak. It hasn't been like that since. They're not gifted with a tremendous amount of... I mean, Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson, they're good receivers, but they're not, Moss or Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson. They have good players. I mean, Gates is one of the best tight ends, yeah, but that's not a great personnel-wise offense, and he has been great with his numbers the last... But they don't win when it counts.
And he built those guys.
And that's part of
it. He was there before Jackson was Jackson. I mean, he kind of led him into it, and Floyd, obviously.
So I like Philip Rivers a lot,
yeah.
But I got to give it to Ben.
I'd be happy with either.
And
as
I'm taking the off-field thing off the. You know,
off
he's going to miss.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to miss at least the first month. I'm taking that
just
out of the equation.
Just going by the football qualities, I would still take Rivers.
Because you hate Roethlisberger.
I know,
it's not even a debate in your mind.
I know. I have,
for you, it's personal. But that's fine. I hate for no
but
reason.
I don't really like Philip Rivers as a person much either.
You don't really know him as a person.
No, but. From what
his
the
character.
From his personality.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. From his personality.
The character you see.
Yeah. When he's
I
arguing
with
fans in the stands.
He's a hothead.
Yeah.
He's a zero to hot Paul Perillo kind of guy.
Even Paul Perillo never got in arguments with fans in the middle of games he was playing.
Got to give him credit for that. All right. 2 hours, guys. That's it.
Guys.
Well done. We got to go put some stuff
sort
up on the web.
Hours.
We want to thank Nelson too for
yeah
lunch.
Nelly we thanked him but it may have been in the not
the
on the air portion
we
of the show
no
and
we thank
Nelly from from where do we know
from New Hampshire.
New
Hampshire
Nelly in
Nelly
New Hampshire
from New Hampshire thank
or,
you for lunch
Nelson.
For a tremendous spread today.
Yes
excellent
haven't seen a spread like that since
Aaron
Andrews
as soon as everybody gets off we're gonna grab them and have a party
no if I got off I probably already grabbed them
that was bags of sand
all right so
balloons.
We have our. We'll be back Thursday for our second preseason game day show of this summer.
Live from Gillette Stadium.
Live from Gillette Stadium. Regular time, noon to 2. So we'll be back then. Hopefully the whole
Sam
gang
Chimes.
Will be here. All four of us, we hope.
G-Force. H-Bomb.
This is your cue to start playing the
I'm doing cheerleader. Video. I need pom-poms.
So that's it for now. We'll see you on Thursday, noontime. Keep the party
into the AM. As soon as everybody gets off, we're gonna grab them and have a party. Make me throw my hands in the air,
air, air, air, air. That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.